I missed you so much.
This is a good day.
Dear Asami, where'd you come from, little cutie?
Dear Cora, I'll destroy you.
Your fiancé?
What do you mean?
This can't be happening.
Well done. She seems very threatening.
Look how cute! Does this mean I'm the master now?
Actually, we're doing fine.
How?
And then she dies.
Think someone is pulling your chain, Gumdrop.
Are you kidding me?
You're a firebender. Boil it yourself.
We're talking minimum 4 hours.
We'll always have Kale.
Hello and welcome to From the Spirit World, a legendary Avatar The Last Airbender and The Legend of Korra podcast for DongBuFang.net. I am your main host, Dylan, and today I'm joined by Mel.
Hello.
Delaney.
Hello.
And Sam.
Hi.
Today is our Korra episode rankings podcast. Everyone on here has ranked all 51, because we're not counting remembrances episodes of The Legend of Korra. And you can find our tiered rankings of every episode of Korra, except one, in the podcast description. I have links to them. So we will be discussing those rankings. This is a From the Spirit World tradition. We did three of these for Avatar, consistently fighting over the differences in the best and worst episodes of Avatar. And now that Korra is over, it can join the time-honored tradition. So we will be getting into that. Questions we'll be answering on this podcast, if that doesn't sound appealing to you. We're going to get into specifics, including what is the best episode of Korra, what are the best group of episodes, what are the worst episodes, and notable differences in our opinions between us, and what our episode rankings can tell us about what we think of the seasons and what we actually think of the season variation in Korra, so the season rankings. And lastly, maybe we'll get into differences between Avatar and Korra a little bit. Because having some of us having ranked all the Avatar episodes and the Korra episodes, we can maybe see the similarities and differences in those. So, a lot to get into, and I have opinions from a lot of you guys I got. And there's a lot of preface I need to give to this to try to explain what we're doing with the rankings.
It's really complicated.
It's pretty complicated, and if you haven't heard one of our rankings podcasts before, I need to go through all this. So bear with me, but we will get to eventually what is the best episode of Korra, which is an interesting discussion. So why rankings? I think this is a good topic to do on a podcast because it gives us a lot of leeway in terms of talking about episodes we like or don't like. We could get into any sort of episode we want and we can debate that episode. It gives us basically infinite things to talk about in this one podcast, focus upon a single thing. Personally, I am Mr. Rankings and Lists, and this is very special to me. So this is kind of how this started, because I kind of rank everything. So I take these rankings very seriously. I've posted a combined Avatar and Korra rankings on Tumblr, and we've done extensive Avatar rankings, and now we're just going to be discussing the Korra ones today, not especially Avatar. I believe in ranking in a tiered system. So I actually think that tiers, T-I-E-R-S, are more important than numbers.
Although
we've probably had some tiers from ranking, extensive ranking. But
yes.
So a tiered system is basically you put episodes into categories while you number them. So eventually our lists, I mean, I don't know if actually any of you guys actually numbered your list. My list is numbered, but you're supposed to number your episodes from 1 to 51. But just numbering episodes 1 to 51 doesn't tell you anything. That's the thing. But putting them into tiers does. So if you have an amazing tier and you put two episodes into that tier, you can tell that they're of similar quality. So that's basically the attempt with the tiered system, is put two episodes into a category. Those episodes are of similar quality, even if you have 20 episodes in that category and they're 20 numbers apart, because numbers on their own don't tell you anything. So I'm a big believer in ranking in tiers, and I also try to attempt to have a normalized tiered ranking system, so basically I try to use these tiers that we can use today for everything. And if you use these tiers for everything, you can really easily tell your opinion on something, even if it was 3 years ago. It's like I ranked book one of Korra when it aired two and a half years ago, and those rankings are still very valid. I went back and rewatched a few of them, and those were like right, and I could tell because of the normalized system. So another thing to note is that this is an attempt, at least for me, I don't think I emphasize this to these guys enough, this is an attempt for me to rank the best episodes and not our favorite episodes. I really think I've done a good job of objectively ranking the core episodes based on critical quality. And I'm going to emphasize that a lot because I really think this is more than other things that I've opinions I have on Korra, that like this is actually my best attempt out of maybe anyone I've seen, even actual critics, at objectively saying which episodes are better than others. Mm-hmm. So I'm really not trying to say this is my favorite, so this is the best ever, right? But we can get into that with our specific differences. So really, what are the objectively best episodes? There's no objectiveness because this is all subjective. But if there was an objectiveness, that's what we're trying to achieve here. And yeah, that's another thing to note. This is all 100% our opinion. So of course, you can't, no one's wrong. No one's like right or anything. Cause I mean, we'll have some extremely large differences that we'll get into. Probably two specific ones that I see looking at our rankings. But, that doesn't mean anyone is right or wrong. Even if they vary from the norm a lot. Well, I say that now. This is why we're prefacing it. Okay. So, last thing before we get into what's the best episode. The validity of ranking by episode. So, the question is, you might be saying, Dylan, I look at Korra more from a series or season perspective. I don't really see the differences between individual episodes. Someone who, like, marathons the show might say this. So, can you even tell the difference between each episode critically? And is that even, like, valid to do so? My response would be, for Korra, yes, very easily, because each episode is worked on by different people. It's very clear, actually, past book one of Korra, especially. Book one is a little jumbled, because there's a small crew working on each episode. But for books two to four, a different directorial and storyboarding team worked on each one. Each one was, the script was specifically was written by a different person as opposed to the last and previous one. Even two-parters like Beginnings clearly have different directorial and writers on them. So I would say it's very valid to try to tell the differences between episodes, especially for books two to four. Agree?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah. And I think especially for a show like Korra, it's almost impossible to tell and I'll get into this more later. If you're trying to look at it from a series perspective, there's almost nothing to look at because the show is so varying between seasons. The only argument I would say between episode by episode quality differences would be you could say look at it as each season, which is somewhat valid, and we'll do that too later. But I think the only ways you can look at the show in terms of dividing up the large chunk would be season by season and episode by episode. Okay, now all that out of the way, I think I hit everything I wanted to. We're going to get into what is the best episode of Korra. So again, in the podcast description, I've linked all four of our episode rankings, and you can pull them up and you can see. Or so if you do that, you'll get spoiled for what people say. But I want to get into the best episode and why. So number one isn't necessarily for everyone going to be super different from number two. So I also maybe want to get into that too. So I'm probably going to go first on all of our Around the Horn today because they're way different than normal. And I'm going to kind of like want to give you guys an idea of what I want here. So I'm also, I think I'm presenting more of a standard opinion for like the first two at least, but you know, that's not necessarily bad, right? So, okay. What's the best episode of Korra? So this is, now we're getting to Dylan. What's the best episode of Korra? Okay, Dylan. There you go. Because I'm throwing it to myself. Korra alone is the best episode of The Legend of Korra.
Why do you think that, Dylan?
So, thank you, Sam. I think that Korra alone is the most consistently high-quality episode that achieves higher emotional resonance with me, that is also very focused. I really am a fan, critically, of focused Korra episodes that like stay narratively within their own episode, and Korra alone is the perfect example of that. There's a few others that are also great examples of that, but Korra alone is everything from the writing to the animation to the music to the voice acting, the highest level of quality that this show can achieve, and it's really consistent in doing so. Now, I think that there's six options for what's the best episode that I would take no issue with anyone picking. And the three of you will present two other episodes, which are in that six. So I really don't like necessarily disagree with you guys, but I don't think there's a definitive answer for this because Korra alone isn't like hit harm, like whatever this expression is, like super far away from being from the other episodes. I think that there's a lot of really good episodes, six specifically. And that's really good, because that's a high number. And it's probably going to come down to personal preference. But I think me trying to look at it objectively, even though maybe this episode doesn't have that that moment that a few others that we'll talk about do, that incredible, incredible moment at the end. It's, I think, in consistence-wise, and just, like, you know, obviously the subject matter of the episode, and, again, the animation, there's, I mean, just rewatching it, the one scene of the night, Korra bending at night during a montage, really stands out and stuff like that. It just narrative, the letters just narratively does really interesting things. It's just one of the best, episodes of TV I've seen, probably up there with the best Avatar episodes, maybe a little bit below one or two of them, but that's really hard to tell. So, yeah, and I would say this is an opinion that was shared by most who wrote in on this, which is interesting. I'm not really sure what the fan general consensus is for a lot of things, because the show just ended, but we'll try to see later. Okay, Mel, what is the best episode of Korra?
The Venom of the Red Lotus.
313.
Yes.
Okay.
I just think, and I've been going back and forth in my head about it a lot between that and The Last Stand, and even Korra alone, and I won't talk about why I didn't pick those, but I just think the acts in The Venom and the Red Lotus are amazing. I think the way the episode progresses is really good, which is interesting because it could very easily have felt like the second half of a two-part episode, and it didn't. I think it hit numerous emotional points from, you know, you've got Korra fighting the Avatar State and then seeing these hallucinations, then you've got the airbenders helping her, and you've got that scene at the end with her in a wheelchair. I just think it hit so many emotional points in between lots and lots of really great action. And the big thing that I don't want to compare it to other episodes as to why, but I did, you know, debated in my head, and I think the dialogue too was just, it wasn't standout or anything, but I didn't have any problems with any of the dialogue, which is interesting because usually there's one or two lines I pick out and say, wow, that's crap. But it just had consistently good dialogue, consistently good fights. Animation was beautiful. Music cues were beautiful. Emotional points were beautiful. And nothing so far before or after Korra, and even in Avatar, honestly, has been just so awesome to me in terms of episodes. So
cool. Two kind of unrelated points that reminded me of. One is, a lot of this is going to be us saying, I really love this episode and here's why. And I don't necessarily want, this is for us, like me and you guys, I don't necessarily want this to get into no, I disagree with that right away. So I want this to be like, let the person present their points, and then afterwards, you know, if you disagree, you can say why.
But
I would say the important thing is, let it get out there, and then, you know, we can get into a debate, you know, after they present their opinion. The second thing is that some people may, who are not necessarily familiar with the podcast that much, or people, like, separating the finales, basically, is what I want to get into. Yes, like what I said before about episode by episode, it's very valid to separate the finales because they're really not written as one episode. They're written separately, they're conceived of separately, and they are worked on by completely different storyboarding teams. So they are separate episodes, even though Venom directly connects to the previous episode. It really should be ranked and stand on its own. The one exception for this in Avatar would be the last two episodes of Avatar, which were written as one and directed as one. So you can't, it's very valid to look at Venom on its own. I think you bring up a good point, Mel, that Venom has really good dialogue, especially for a finale. Like, that's pretty unusual for Korra to have, not have just terrible stuff in the finale. You get into the Avatar finale, just horrible dialogue, which is frustrating.
The Phoenix King!
Zuzu, check out the family doctor, or whatever, that line. Okay. Delaney, what is the best episode of Korra?
And, like Mel, I have Last Stand, Venom of the Red Lotus, and Korra alone very, very close. It was really hard trying to pick between all three of them, but I think The Last Stand is the best episode of Korra. And kind of for the reasons Mel said, the Last Stand has great action and a lot of, it hits emotional high points and low points, and I just thought it was, you know, incredible episode, and just, I think what really, for me, what put this, like, for me, like, this is the best, is Kuvira and Korra in the spirit world. Just that scene that, like, we didn't think we were going to get, or I don't know, just an amazing part of the episode. And, of course, you know, the feels aside at the end of The Last Stand and Kurosami ending. But just, I don't know, and even that, like, you know, we were all kind of worried about an epilogue and just, but... that wedding, that the last 10 minutes of that episode it's just incredible. Granted, they're all close. My top three are just really, really close. They're really hard to differentiate, but just great, amazing. I don't really have a lot of, like, coherent good thoughts about it, but, like, just the action, Kuvira, especially, like, again, the fight scenes are just, like, I think the best fight scene in all of Korra is in this episode, and it's when they're in the Colossus.
In the Colossus, yeah.
Yeah, so I think just some of the great, like, stupid action Colossus. Sequences. Yeah, stupid Colossus. And just some of the most beautiful scenes are, I think, in this episode. I just think best episode.
Cool. We'll definitely get back to all of these for more discussion. Sam, what is the best episode?
Well, I think that the best episode is, like Mel, Venom of the Red Lotus. Why do I think that? Well, you know, whatever, music, dialogue, animation, who cares? I think the main point, the driving point that made me pick this over Korra alone, since that was, like, a really, like, neck-and-neck sort of race, was the ending to this episode. I think it has, like, such a despair and, like, hopelessness, but at the same time it has such hope. Like, it's, like, a really amazing contrast how they did it and it worked so well, and it sets up the whole next season. Albeit the whole next season wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be, but we can get to that later. I don't know. I think the ending just was very perfect, and it was exactly what it needed to be to end the season that was so great. And, I don't know, it was very, very hopeful, but very hopeless at the same time, which I really liked.
Mm-hmm.
The end.
The end, cool. So, those are our best episodes. And related to this discussion is what is the best group of episodes. And you all provided some feedback on what's the best episode, and I'll get to that, I think, probably. After we discuss what episodes are in your best ever tier. So if you look on our rankings, linked to from the podcast description, you'll see a best ever descriptor, which is maybe stands out from the rest of them, which are, like, subjective. Amazing, very good, good, decent. Like, best ever, I think, needs some explanation. So my intent with that category, and again, and I'm going to have you all explain what you ultimately ranked criteria-wise by, because it might not have been my intent, which is fine, you know, individual rankings. But when I rank by best ever, this is supposed to be what this episode is genuinely one of the best episodes of television I've seen across the board. And it's supposed to be expanding to other media, although it's very difficult to compare an episode of TV to a movie. But, like, one of the best. It doesn't mean it's necessarily the best. Doesn't mean it's necessarily in the top 5%. Just one of the best, right? So, theoretically, episodes I have in the best ever tier compare to the episodes of Mad Men I have in the best ever tier. Like, it's supposed to be across the board. And I think that for me personally, it's really significant to see which episodes achieve some sort of, achieve this status, because these are, like, the true classics. These are the ones that you can always rewatch, the ones that are going to stand out forever from Korra, although you can argue that ones from a tier below it would as well. Now getting into more me-specific things, an episode can be as good as it is, as it can be, and it would just get into the amazing tier. It really needs to do something special and achieve something that the other episodes don't to get into best ever, and I think each of the six I have really do. It was five up until yesterday, and I added one. But yeah, let me go over my six here and kind of... So there's my criteria, right? I have six. I don't necessarily think it should be any specific number. The highest show that has the highest number, I don't rank every episode of every show, but Avatar has 14. That's the highest of any show.
Wow.
I don't know if I would, like, rank that many. Like, my Avatar rankings are 2 years old, so I'm not sure if I would keep that, but that's how it is from currently. Korra has 6. It has less episodes, but it does have less relative to the series, which I don't know if it's valid or not. Not sure. But yeah, one of the best I've seen. So I've talked about Korra alone. I don't think it's necessarily head and shoulders above my number 2 episode, which is The Last Stand. So The Last Stand, I think, is... I mean, I'll address Venom right now. I have Venom lower than you all. I have Venom at 5. And that's not... I don't necessarily think much less of it than you guys, because it's still in the same tier, right? That's the thing. Episodes of the same tier are similar quality. Numbering isn't as important. But for me, Venom in the last 15 minutes is the best episode of the series. But its first 15 minutes... I mean, it's not a 30-minute episode. But the first half don't stand up to the consistency of the 4 episodes above it. It is my big thing. Venom of the Red Lotus contains the best episode of the series, the third act. But... the interactions with the here in the first act to me are not as consistently high level as The Last Stand, which I think is more consistent. I think the episode is super interesting during its second act. The third act is that blog, which is incredible. The Last Stand's second act is Korra and Kuvira just one-on-one, which is incredible. And the first act is not as good, but still very good. Better than Venom's first act. So I think overall Last Stand stands out to me as the second one. My number 3 episode is The Stakeout. Which I've talked about it extensively, is an incredibly impressive episode. I think it's the best script of all of Korra. Everything, Mike just writes an incredible episode, everything relates to each other. The last act is really interesting, the very end of the episode is superb, and probably the third best episode of the series, third best scene of the series, and this really just achieves just... higher level storytelling to me that no episode of Korra does. Like, I think the Stakeout is maybe the most complete episode narratively, even more so than Korra alone, which kind of ends on a cliffhanger, so who cares. From 4 is the Metal Clan. We'll debate this more extensively, but the Metal Clan is my... I am going to have any biases on this list, it's going to be towards episodes like the Metal Clan. The Metal Clan is slow, it is pacing-wise, it is, like, very deliberate, and I love that. Like, there's very few episodes of Korra that are as just painstakingly slow in achieving character moments as the Metal Clan. It's incredibly impressive in establishing Zafusu and Opal as characters and concepts, and if you take out the Metal Clan from the series, I think if you take out the Metal Clan from the series more than any other episode, the Korra doesn't work. Which is really interesting. Like, that is actually the most essential episode of the series. The only one I think you could argue is Korra alone. But it's just, like, it just establishes everything that the next 2 seasons are about, which is great, and it does so in genuine dialogue moments. It also contains, I think, 2 of the best scenes of the entire series, Korra and Opal, airbending, and the dinner scene, as discussed in our Top 5 podcast last week. but yeah, I love everything about the Metal Clan, another incredible Mike script, much like Korra alone, The Stakeout, and The Last Stand, top 4 episodes, all Mike scripts, pretty great. 5, Venom, I discussed this, the last scene is the thing is I don't take issue with this being ranked number 1 because I think the final act of Venom the Red Lotus is the best scene of the show. So if you translate that as best episode, that's completely fine. And I really do think I'm still incredibly impressed with how like Sam was talking about, the hopefulness, hopelessness, just they achieved that sort of thing in the last scene. I didn't know they were capable of that, narratively, right? It's just incredibly impressive. And 6, so I hadn't rewatched Beginnings since the week it aired. I was very afraid to go back and rewatch it because we had a lot of problems with it. And, things that bothered me about it when I watched it the first time were, the retconning of the original mythology of Avatar, that really bothered me. And the terrible dialogue. And I thought that I originally ranked Beginnings Part 2 really high, Beginnings Part 1 much lower. And I thought, you know, if I go back and watch it, I'm not going to like it as much. But I went back and watched it, and neither of those things bothered me at all, actually. I think the good things about this episode... Oh, I actually took notes. Why am I not referencing my notes?
Wow.
So it's...
You're such a nerd.
I know. But the good things about Beginnings Part 2, and again, they can... Beginnings is more jumbled in terms of can you see them separately, but Part 2 is just so much better than Part 1. It kind of stands out. Meanings Part 2 is the most incredibly visual episode, the best episode visually of the entire series. It just, the style of both parts of Beginnings are incredible, and you really comes on display during action sequences of Beginnings Part 2. The moments that stand out to me are, it's just so cathartic when the episode explains the origin of each aspects of the Avatar. This is something that I don't know if I got necessarily the first time, but I mean, you got, but it's like, oh, I know what it's doing, but it's not impressive. When I was rewatching it, and we see the beginnings of the Avatar as the bridge between the spirit world, as the the mediator between spirits and humans, the beginnings of the Avatar state and bending all four elements and him merging with Rava. These moments are just emotionally cathartic. Like, they're so well done. And I don't, like, I'm surprised how well they came off to me. It's epic, it's incredible, and it's the visually the best episode, and the last thing I want to say is the incredible development between Rava and Juan. hashtag Wava.
No. I was going to say, tell them what you said last night.
I kind of ship Wava after rewatching it. So, like,
Candy,
I actually...
Wava's weird. In the distance.
That's weird, they're like the same person now.
I act like, seriously, like...
I can
okay,
see it.
Let me tell you, okay, let me present it in, like, a different way than they presented in Beginnings. Like, you have this human... who gets kicked out of society and is kind of on his own, and he gains more power and stuff like that, and he meets this primordial spirit, and they go on a journey together.
Their relationship
develops. They go through a lot of struggles together. They help each other become more powerful, and they combine their forces in order to save the world. They merge into one being. How incredibly romantic. And seriously, like, that's kind of what the show is presenting. It's not overtly romantic at all, but it's just really interesting from that perspective. Like, even romantic or not, like, the dynamic between Juan and Rava is super interesting. And it's really cool how that it is that interesting while Rava is not a person. Like, Rava has no emotional
things. She
doesn't
even have a mouth.
She doesn't have a face.
Regardless of, like, face or not, like, the little cutie spirit in Korra alone is a person. This Rava is just so not any sort of human traits. Like, she's just...
She's a kite.
She's a talking
but
kite.
At the same time, they do kind of achieve... You kind of see her, like, warming to Juan, even though she has the same tone of voice the entire time. It's really interesting. Yeah,
carried
I don't...
her around in a little teapot.
Teapot, yep.
Yeah, and the teapot, and teapot, yeah. Love, even yeah. though, even teapot. Though the last scene of, or the climax of the episode is the fight scene, and then they randomly merge, and Rava says, "We are one," or something like that, and it's just
no.
Really,
she's like, "We are bonded.
We are bonded for life," and it's really glaring.
Until Unalaq literally rips her
right
out.
But yeah, like. That line is terrible, but I don't care because it was really good. That's I guess where I am with it, and I think I'm going to be way higher than this than everyone else. But yeah, there you go. I think those are the upper echelon of episodes, and there's like many that kind of get close to that level, and we'll maybe discuss that after this. But there you go. So that was kind of long, but here's what I want from you guys: what is your criteria for the best ever tier, and what episodes do you have in it, and why for each one? So Mel.
So. I'm the only person, I think, who only ranked one episode in the best ever tier. And that's because I'm very, very skittish about claiming episodes to be the greatest in television history. And Venom of the Red Lotus was literally the only one that I said, like, definitively without the doubt, I think it could stand up to something like Ozymandias, which is the penultimate episode of Breaking Bad, which is honestly probably going to go down in history as the greatest episode of television ever written. Written by a woman, by the way. So that was kind of my criteria for that if something could stand out to me and I can be like, wow, like that was an amazing, amazing half hour of television, then it goes in the best ever tier. In both Avatar and Korra, there was honestly only one episode for each that I did. And I will say at this point, I do think Venom of the Red Lotus is better than, what I think is the best episode of Avatar, but... I'm not going to go over all the reasons again because I've talked about Venom of the Red Lotus already.
Cool. Yeah, so I think that you're just ranking fundamentally differently than me. Like, if I were you, I would put Venom in best ever.
If I were you.
Best
Is that
ever.
Not the crux of our...
If I were you.
I'm not trying to say you did it wrong. I'm just saying, like, if your rankings were my rankings, Venom would be in best ever tier one. And then mm-hmm. Coraline to stay would be best ever tier
See,
two.
See, I think that's just, I think I just look maybe a little bit more critically at the episodes. And by critically, I mean, like, I think I'm a bit more negative about
Yeah,
And I don't think that's good or bad. I think it's just the way I look at
it. It's interesting. I wonder if you are more negative or if it's just you're more skittish to compare it to the other great ones. Like what you said, like, I think you're looking at it from like in TV history, objectively. And to me, it's like, you can't make this not personal, right? Like,
that's my thing. And like, when I first watched Cora the Lone, I wasn't as impressed as everyone else was with it. I think I was angry, but when I redid it, I looked at it, I said, wow, that was really, really amazing. Do I think it was as good and hit me as solidly as Venom of the Red Lotus did? No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think you can, like I said, I think you can denote a separation while still having them. And like, I didn't necessarily tell you guys this, but you can do tier ones here too. But not necessarily, you necessarily did it wrong, but I look at your amazing tier. And, I think a lot of what, like, we'll get into it, but, the stakeout being in your amazing tier is really interesting to me because I feel like you, I don't remember. I feel like I remember you loving that and I would be surprised that that's that low. I don't know. Interesting. But yeah, there you go. I think a lot of people might agree with you based on what I'm saying, that they would probably not have more than one in that best ever tier. Because I really think putting any provides a legitimacy to Korra, right? That, maybe some don't recognize. Because seriously, best across all of TV is what we're saying. There you go. We'll come back to this. And I think when we're talking about ones in the amazing tier, we can get into your opinions on more episodes, Mel. Delaney, what about you?
Well, like, so my criteria, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, for the most part, I mean, I just used your criteria. You were, like, telling me about it. And I'm like, okay. And also, like, I don't, like, yeah, I watch TV, yeah. But, like, for me, Korra is just kind of it. Like, I don't watch good TV. I watch trash, and I know I watch trash. I watch Bones, and I watch shows. They're just, like, I love them, but they're not the best things ever. So, like, so, for me, yeah, this is definitely, like, all of TV, because, like, it's Korra, and, I mean, so I'm not, like, necessarily, like, I don't know, maybe my opinion's not as good as Mel's, because Mel, like, watches good TV, but...
Well, I don't think that, I mean, I could watch as much TV as I want and have an awful opinion about it, so yeah. I don't think how much you're exposed to necessarily means you have a better opinion.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to throw that out there because it's like, I really don't watch.
No,
I just
watch
it. No, yeah, different perspectives are notable. Yeah, I think that is good to know.
Because, like, for me, like, Korra is it. I don't watch a lot of TV. So, I have Last Stand and then Venom of the Red Lotus, Korra Alone, The Metal Clan, and The Stakeout. So, like, this isn't, like, really a really good order. Like, I don't do well ordering things inside the tier. So, I'm just going to go by, like, how it's on my list. That's why there aren't numbers. So, Venom of the Red Lotus. Everything Mel said, love Venom of the Red Lotus. It's amazing. The feels, and honestly, like, the difference between The Last Stand and Venom of the Red Lotus was, do I want to be sad or happy at the end? Like, emotional impact, that's really, like, to me, they're equal. It's just, like, which way? But, so Venom, I mean, the action, just everything. Venom of the Red Lotus, like, hurt my soul. That's how good it was. So, like, it hurt my soul in a good way.
Okay.
And then, so we've already talked about another Lotus, but like, so Korra Alone, and when I first watched it, I wasn't as upset about, I don't know, now I'll just drop that thought, but I love Korra Alone. Korra Alone's amazing, and maybe if I was a bit more, like, I don't necessarily know how objective I'm being, like, with what Dylan was saying about, like, you know, not making it your favorites, but
like, and note if you're not, if like that was just criteria I was saying, like, you know, for myself. So it's you can definitely say, like, this is maybe more of a favorite than a best or whatever.
Well, I get a good example of that too is I've got one of my favorites is ironically The Coronation, but I have it ranked in like freaking the middle of like decent or good. So there is a difference.
Yeah. Oh, I think I have like, I kind of have a mixture in here. It depends on the from episode to episode, but like, I there's a chance that objectively I would maybe say Korra Alone is the best episode. But, like, but it's kind of down at 3 or whatever. But I love Korra Alone, just everything about the episode. I mean, narratively, it's amazing. Like, the entire structure of that episode blows me away. It's just so incredible. And I think I've gotten into, like, 3 arguments with Dylan about the narrative structure of that episode. Just amazing. It's my favorite. And then, of course, the Metal Clan, for all the reasons Dylan said. I mean, of course, it's about Sue and the Mayfongs. Of course, it's in my best ever tier. I mean, that episode, like, I was really ticked off at first. It was like, really? There's a secret sister? That's so stupid. But the Metal Clan is such a good episode. It's so, like, they did it perfectly. And I agree with Dylan that, I mean, without the Metal Clan, it's like, books, not necessarily book three, but I mean book four falls apart without the Metal Clan. And then the Stakeout. Incredible also. I'm still not over the twist. I will never
that
be over
twist,
it.
Though.
Yeah.
That twist.
Never over it. So good. And just we had a 5 minute how long was the pie show scene? How long was it?
It was two minutes. That's
two whole minutes though.
It's a long time.
So good. Yeah. So great. And the dialogue and even Mako's stupid little logbook, like the episode's just great.
Where he's writing correspondence.
I didn't think we'd get Mako's logbook in the best ever discussion. That was my headcanon though. There you go.
Stakeout's, I agree, like again with Dylan about the like as a script and like probably the most complete episode of Korra. Like it's just so good. When I watched it, I was just blown away by how great it is. It's just such a solid episode. And like, and I guess I'll go back a little bit to my criteria. Like, these are the episodes that I will always remember. Like, these are the episodes that, when I think of Korra, these episodes are what I think of. These are the scenes I think of are from this. These are the episodes that this is why I want people to watch Korra, is because of these episodes.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Cool. Sam.
I'm glad you made me go last in this. All right. There's going to be some extreme points of difference that we're going to fight about. I just want to preface that thinking back on my rankings, I think I did it very subjectively. I mean, there is no meter I can think of better than myself because I am me. And thus.
The problem is it's really hard to separate them.
I can't separate myself from what I like, Dylan.
Yeah, no, I understand. Yeah.
So, this is more of a favorites list. Anyway, let's go. So, number one, Venom of the Red Lotus. Well, who cares? We already talked about that. Number two, Korra Alone. Number three, The Stakeout. Number four, The Voice in the Night. And number five, The Spirit of Competition.
Okay, well, talk about those last two, especially.
Talk about those last. Well, let's get the other two out of the way. Korra Alone was very close to being my number one. When it first aired, I felt like an extreme emotional impact by it, and like it was my favorite episode. But then going back on rewatch, I realized that the rest of season four kind of tainted the episode in a way, and it wasn't as good. Stakeout, I don't know, it was just a really good episode. I don't know. It took its time doing what it wanted to do, and the pie show scene, and blah, 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 whatever. Voice in the Night, I think, obviously I have it ranked that way, I think it's definitely the best episode of book one. Why did I just say that? I have to explain myself. I don't know, I feel like it just hit like really good points of humor and seriousness, and it hit them, you know, really well, and it wasn't like jarring to go from like, oh, you know, Carlock giving Korra a car, to Korra being ambushed by Amon and Equalus. Like, all the stuff in it wasn't really... Like, their contrast that they usually don't do that well, at least in book one, but in this episode it works very well. And, you know, the animation, especially during, like, the Aang statue, whatever, ambush scene by Amon was, like, really, really good. Anyway, The Spirit of Competition, why is it ranked so high? I rewatched it last night, and I felt this really strong sense of just unabashed joy when I watched it. I watched it, and it took me straight back to 2012. And I don't know, it just made me really happy. I don't know, like, because it's just, I feel like it's one of the most truest filler episodes that Korra has. It is the only true filler episode this show has. And maybe that's not what makes it good, but I think that's a point for it. It's just an episode where they didn't have to worry about the dumb plot. Well, they did, the probe ending, whatever. But they didn't have to worry about, like, the dumb, stupid plot. And I think definitely Bolin's character is on his A-game in this plot. Makora, you know, it happens, blah, 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 who cares? I don't know, it just made me really happy, and it reminded me about how great that time was, book one. It was a good time when it happened. I don't know,
you're remembering all the good things about book one, and not the bad things.
In one episode,
I'm remembering all the good about it, and like, and again,
waking up at 11 in the morning.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. Like, it's very a subjective opinion, but it's like, it just takes me back to when book one was first airing and how great life was in comparison to now. So that's why it's ranked so high.
All right. So because those are new episodes, let's start with Voice in the Night. Mel or Delaney, do you have anything to add to Sam's? Because you both like this episode more than me.
I agree. Like, I actually really almost put The Voice in the Night in my best ever tier because I love The Voice in the Night. When I think of book one, I think of The Voice in the Night. And, I mean, for the longest time, it was my favorite episode of Korra ever. Like, I love The Voice in the Night. I think it's, like, all the reasons Sam said, like, it's a wonderful episode, and I definitely for it. Like, I support you, Sam.
Thanks.
I think the title's crap.
It's the best title.
Whoa. The Voice in the Night is objectively the best title of all of Korra.
No.
Yes.
Anyway.
That's a title.
I think the middle of the episode's a little shaky with all the Tarlok stuff. That being said, the way they set up why she was doing all that stuff with Tarlok was very, very interesting. This was the first time in this, in book one, that we got to see Korra being an actual character who has many facets, and when to say multifaceted as a noun, has, you know, a few different things going on, lots of moving parts, and I loved the last act. I think it was really amazing and awesome. I think that psychological warfare was just insane, and we got our first glimpse at sort of the season-long mystery of the flashbacks to Aang, and I think it was really great for Korra and Tenzin's character dynamic as well.
And we were terrified of Amon. Like, that was the first one where we were like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Not the revelation. So, the big thing I disagree with on The Voice in that is the last...
Just mumble about the revelation.
Yeah, is the last act. But The Voice in that is really notable for how much happens in it. Like, I rewatched it yesterday, and book one, everything that happens in episodes 5 to 12 is set up in Voice in that. Like, literally every single thing that happens, which is really weird. Why is so much happening in this one episode? So many different things happening. Like, just everything from Mako and Asami to Tarlok to Amon. Like, what is to Korra's feelings for Mako? Why are we addressing all this one episode? But it really does work, I think. My thing is that, I guess I don't see the validity in that last act as much. I think I look at, Amon going up to Korra at the end, and I see kind of silliness, maybe more so than,
Look, it wasn't like he was in a giant robot.
Like, yeah. I can't not look at that and just say, like, I'm saving you for less. I have a plan. Like, okay, I don't... It just brings back all the I have a plan stuff from book one.
Here's what I have to say about... And, I mean, I don't... Yeah, I mean, it is kind of a little bit of cliche, like, villain stuff. At the same time, it was really dark. Like, that... Yeah. When that came out, that was, like, the darkest episode we'd seen of Korra or Avatar, and we were like, oh.
I mean, they snatch her, drag her
but,
in.
But, the thing that I love overall about the episode is that it was very much, and you said a lot of stuff's happening, and it's a lot of setting up, but it was very much characters moving plot and not the other way around. I mean, Asami is apparently hits people with her moped, you know, knocks into Mako, you know, that's, you know, she asked him out on the date, that's happening. Korra is feeling a little anxious about Amon after the revelation, makes a lot of stupid decisions after Tarlok, who wants more power, prompts her because that's his deal.
Well,
it's a lot of... Shush.
Since you brought it up.
No, shush. It's a lot of character motivations interacting perfectly, I think. It's so many different... And, you know, it can seem to get a little messy. However, I don't think it was. I think it was a lot happening. But I was, you know, I think we followed it really well throughout the three acts, and it was just beautiful interaction of character wants and character actions coming into conflict and occasionally working together for better or for worse, or for being dragged into the dark by a scary adult man and, you know, just having that happen to you. So
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, I think that the things work together really well. Since, like, this episode also contains the worst line of the series.
Yes, it does.
So,
another one of your
I still think there are contenders for worst line in the series.
I think this is number one. We could have done, we didn't do the top five list. This is the worst line of the series. But, yeah, I don't think the Amon stuff at the end. I also think Corrin Tenzin's dynamic is fairly one note, although it's fine. Like, this episode is better than the first three. Like, it's not better than the first three, but it's more complex in terms of like Korra, but it's still also predicated on just Korra being afraid, and I'm like, okay, but I don't know. To me, I think overall I'd say Western Nights like an average episode of book four, but I'm way higher on book four than all
I would also make the argument, and this is probably an invalid argument considering the way we're supposed to rank them, but considering the way the rest of the series played out, I think the validity of this hinging on her being afraid is very important.
Yep,
because this is the first time we've had That was the first time we were introduced to the idea that Korra's main weakness is her reliance on bending, and that if that gets taken away, it's a huge, huge blow to her, and it's a great character moment.
Yeah, so no,
I think a lot of what happened in book four was honestly very set up by Amon in Voice in the Night.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. It's very important. But yeah, you're also right that I don't think that should be accounted for in ranking. Any other comments on that, on this, Sam, based on what we said?
On that one specifically?
Yeah, because it is your segment too. Okay. Spirit of Competition. So this is one of the two huge differences, between the rest of us. We'll get to the other one later, but, I don't know. All of us, let's go through where the rest of us have Spirit of Competition, because,
I had to scroll.
Delaney has it in the bad tier. Mel has it in the decent tier, and I also have it in the decent tier. I think Sam brings up a really good, like, point in that this episode, I don't know if it's not exactly what you're saying, but this is what I'm thinking. This episode is so different than every other episode of Korra. It's just so,
character episode.
It's so character-based, sitcom-y, so romantically driven.
It's like Dawson's Creek.
And I think a lot of people really resent it for that. And, there are a few things I will say. Like, I think overall this is one of the lesser episodes, of course, so I disagree a ton. But, there are a few good things that are really notable from this episode. One is just the Bolin stuff. Like, and I think that's a big reason why Sam loves it, because Bolin's fairly prominent. Bolin's date with Korra is really good. And, even though it gets into burping contest, which I don't love, it's still really cool. And this episode contains buffest, toughest, what is the line? Something like that. That's one of the most notable lines of season one of Korra, and that's really good. That being said, the big reasons why people dislike this one, those to me put in the decent tier, those prevent it from being in the bad tier. This episode is very predicated on pro bending, and I unfortunately have to be out of character for this for a second, because everyone knows I love pro bending, but in actuality pro bending's terrible. And I hate to say it, but I am sorry that my ironicness has to fade here, but it's really bad. And in this 105 and 106, there's entire acts that are just pro bending, and it's not good.
Why I stopped transcribing the episodes.
Oh yeah, so, because we have 1-4 on DF and then nothing else after that.
It was so hard to transcribe the
programming. So, yeah. So that's point number one. But then the really big thing, and if you go back and listen, I think these are some of those notable podcasts of maybe all of our run, is the ones on like Spirit of Competition and ones involving Mako and Korra. But it's just Mako and Korra and behaving so unsympathetically. It's just really frustrating to watch for me. But if you view that as fun, I think it's interesting.
It was really fun. That was a very fun episode to watch.
I think the thing for me that puts it in decent and keeps it out of bad is because I do think it had very good character moments and it was very character driven. That being said, it was stupidly character driven. So that's why it's at the bottom of my decent.
Okay.
I don't know. I had a lot of fun watching it.
Delaney, thoughts on this?
Well, I mean, I put it in bad, and I'll say, when the episode first aired, I was in love with this episode. I was like, this is the episode I've been waiting for, yes, because I shipped Mako and Korra so hard, and I hated Asami so much, and it was a dark time, but I was just like, yes, this is everything I ever wanted from an episode, this is amazing, yes. After showing my friends at college these episodes, and I'm just physically, I'm just cringing and just like, I hate my life. Why did I like this episode? And just, it's painful. It's a sitcom, and I'm just like, I can't do this. It's just so painful to watch this episode. Like, some of the, now I will say, the Bolin moments are pretty good, especially, like, I'm still not the biggest fan of Bolin, but some of the funniest things from him happened in this episode. But I just, I can't, it hurts me to watch it, and it just, I don't want to say I hate it, but I just, it's a painful episode, and I'm not good with the rom-com, no thanks. That was just a lot of, ugh.
So, I think the title is very gross. Good, though.
Yeah, surprisingly, it was the title.
Don't like the voice very the night apt, like this.
Yeah, how do you not like voice? Come on,
this is a very apt title.
Voice of the Night is so perfect for an undercurrent of creepiness throughout the entire spirit of competition. Is just a dumb pun. Okay,
it's great.
Okay,
Mel can no longer be trusted with titles.
It should be noted that Sam's opinion on this episode is not without precedent. Emily Gundelsberger, the person who reviewed Korra on the AV Club for, I think, books 1 and 2, and then Oliver took over for the last two, had Spirit of Competition as the best episode of book 1.
Yeah,
so there you
good
go.
Job, Emily.
There you go. There is one other person in the universe who has told this opinion.
One other weirdo out there.
Do you want to respond to anything any of us said, or is it good?
I don't know. It's just a really fun episode.
Just
I had
a personal
a lot of fun
thing.
Watching
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
It's just like a personal, like my yeah. personal favorite.
Yeah.
Also, the line is, "You're the smartest, funniest, toughest, buffest, talentedest, incredibleest girl in the world."
Yes, I would say that's one of the most notable episodes of the entire line.
That's
of the
what
entire
I'm going
to
say to my future girlfriend.
There you go. That's that.
Thank
I
you.
I will say whether she has all those things or not.
Exactly.
Even though I don't like the Spirit of Competition, certainly like one of the, if not the most memorable episode.
It's certainly memorable.
Like it's,
we would argue not
so
for good.
That is something. I don't know if it's in its favor or not, but that is certainly something to its credit.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, now I have
two kids kissed.
Those two kids. The good old
Which
days.
Two?
The good old days
when, exactly.
when Mako and Korra were a terrible, terrible rushed thing. The
exactly.
good old days. Yeah. Okay, I have feedback from you guys. I asked on my Tumblr. Pacaf, I don't know if that's a PACAF. He's written them before. I don't know if that's his name. These are Nick at Night, me episode ranking answers. I don't know.
He is
Nick at Night. He's Nick at Night. Okay.
Wow, Dylan.
See, that's the problem. I don't have everyone associated with their nickname or name. That's a problem. Okay, Nick at Night says, best episode is Venom of the Red Lotus, and the best tier includes Korra Alone, The Stakeout, Out of the Past, The Last Stand, and Beginnings.
High five Out of the Past, yes.
So let's talk about Out of the Past since he brought it, because I don't know if we'll talk about it again.
I ranked it really high, and I'm like, I don't know where I might have meant to rank it higher, but it's high on my list. I feel him.
To me, the thing that stands out of the Past is the Amon, the scene like at the super end with Amon and Korra and Tarlok. I don't know who's there.
As
I
opposed
didn't
to the
I didn't rewatch
slightly
it,
end.
But like, yeah. I don't know if I the flashbacks don't do that much for me. That's
oh,
the
thing. Flashbacks are so important to me.
Yeah, see, that's why so I don't important. Have this. I have it ranked in very good, but it's basically at the bottom of very good, just because I hate flashback episodes. I think I can't stand them. And it says something because I don't really like Zuko Alone all that much, and he was my favorite character from Avatar.
That
so.
Is a not acceptable opinion. Not acceptable.
Flashbacks don't bother me, but like
by the, for the record, Korra Alone is better than Zuko Alone, but it's close.
Yes, it did
it's
much.
Close,
it handled flashbacks much better.
Out of the Past, I've been very good. Yeah, I think that scene at the end is incredible. The flashbacks, I don't think, are as good as they could be.
Where do I have Out of the Past? It is in. Is it just not very good?
A lot of people, have this as one of the best episodes of Book One. I will say that, and I think it is one of the best ones.
Because Aang's in it.
Well, everyone's in it.
Yeah.
Except Katara.
Yeah, except God, it's still upsetting.
The rest of the ones he has, we talked about. So Toon Gal says Korra Alone beats anything in Korra or even Avatar. Yeah, that's what she says. Korra Alone beats anything in Korra or even Avatar.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ray says, I feel like the best episode of Korra is A New Spiritual Age by far.
Wow.
It's
oh,
the most
actually you, Dylan.
It might be me in disguise. It's the most gorgeously animated episode of the series, and it also gets really deep into Korra's spiritual arc, which becomes even more important in the later seasons. Also, it is Iroh, Jinora, and Wan Chitong. What more do you want?
I
have it at the top of very good.
I have it in, did I put it in amazing?
It really pains me that this is not in my top 10. It's number 11. But the last 2 minutes are the last 2 minutes are just painful. That's the problem. The rest are the best thing ever, and Janora is the best thing ever, and this episode is the best thing ever. But it's not quite there.
And then Dylan converted me, so I do agree. New spiritual age.
Seriously though, this and I said Beginnings Part Two is the most visually stunning episode. The series, A New Spiritual Age is number two. It's pretty incredible that the two best visual episodes of the series are in the season with the animation by the other studio, right? Studio Mir comes on and just does incredible, Lee, I guess.
Metaphor is a bit on the nose, though.
Nope. Oh, yeah, it is, but
a little bit on the nose.
How do you feel about this title,
Mel? Here's my problem with saying things are on the nose, because sometimes, like, they are, like, this is just when your police get more power. Yeah, that's on the nose. Certain metaphors, I don't think this was on the nose. I think it actually worked out really nicely the way that she was having these issues and she literally just reverted to a 4-year-old.
I guess the way I
think
see
that
it,
was very, very clever.
Yeah, I think we have different definitions of on the nose, which has caused problems. But like, to me, on the nose can be like good or bad. Like, I think a line, it can be on the nose and it can be make sense within the context, or it can be used well, or it can just be on the nose and it's just very glaring. Like,
okay, brief history of that definition. It comes from playwriting, actually, in stage shows, and it referred to a character, the original definition of saying something is on the nose is when a character says exactly what's happening. So take that as you will, but that's where I draw.
Okay. Well, I think we probably expand the definition a bit. So I think Korra becoming young Korra is on the nose, but it's good in its usage. So that's what I'd say. But it's like, to me, that's not necessarily a bad thing when I say something's on the nose, but it could be like play to gain more power. Ikuvira says, favorite episode.
More power.
Favorite episode, Korra Alone. Top five in no particular order. Korra Alone, The Metal Clan. And the winner is A New Spiritual Age and Darkness Falls. I also think that Beginnings Part 1 and 2 should be included too. Okay, so there's some ones we haven't discussed. And the winner is. Why do you love And the Winner Is, Delaney?
It's amazing. Like, it's just so good. Like, I mean, like, I'm still, like, I remember being shocked watching it. Like, it was just so good. And just everything that happened in it, and you have Spider-Lynn. I mean, it has everything you could possibly want in a book one episode. It's great.
So I think Jeff agrees with this opinion, that it's, like, one of the best. So the thing with And the Winner Is, and I talked about this, is that it is significantly pro-bending. So, like, that's the problem.
But they make it good. Like, what happened, the pro-bending, and it makes sense, and it, like, contributes to the plot, and it's not just stupid.
No, it's still stupid, but... Why? This really pains me to say that. I have to drop the character really hard here. So the thing is that the reason why you should like this episode, Delaney, is that it's incredible. Maybe the best moment of the entire series between Korra and Lynn is here. Yeah. So and that's the best part of it.
I will say, also, when they come out of the stands, though, like, that is insane.
Yeah, I think that's good, but not necessarily incredible.
I think a lot of it, though, is like, looking back, to me, that was an insane scene, and that's why I played around a lot ranking And the Winner Is, because I love it so much. In comparison, we've had a lot more shockers, you know, we've been through a lot more since then, of being shocked and being like, what just happened, what am I watching? But that watch, I'm just really remembering, and listening to the podcast, too, about that scene, just wow, like, I mean, no, you know, just crazy.
Just crazy. So.
I think big moments like that, especially early in the show, like, I think that, I mean, it's important to note in, like, emotional reactions and things like that.
Yeah, I'm gonna save my thoughts on this in terms of book one overall for later, but yeah. Ikuvir also has Darkness Falls. I think you like this one more than the rest of us, Delaney. So this is the first one of the book two finale. What is notable about Darkness Falls?
It's just, it's hard for me, and again, I'm having a few issues just right now at the moment, like, remembering, like, where Darkness Falls begins. I just remember really enjoying the episode. I also like the title. And I'm trying to remember how I felt when I first watched it, because I just remember watching it and being, like, the only person who was like, I love this episode.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't really remember it. I didn't rewatch the book two finale, so I don't really remember.
It just, I mean, you have... Oh, I remember, okay. It's because the... Wait, is this Fog of
Lost this is the Fog of Lost Souls. This is the mushroom plant. The mushroom fighters decorate a while. Yeah.
The main reason I adore this episode is because of the Fog of Lost Souls. Like, that scene, that entire sequence is so important to me.
Oh,
like,
yeah, well, this episode has Zhao, so I think it's automatically one of the best. So I'll agree with this on that one. There you go.
And also, just you have the cloud babies running around in the spirit world, and even the dumb Unalaq becoming the dark avatar, and then Bolin and, Bolin, what he did to Eska, oh man, Eska. Eska's the girl. I just got a little mixed up.
Confused. You're Bolin right now in episode one,
Yep, I am. But, I don't know, I just thought it came together really well, and I really enjoyed Darkness Falls, and there are some good, we bash book two a lot, but there are some really good scenes in this episode. So, and I think, where do I have Darkness Falls ranked? I think I have it in very good.
Yeah, I've got this in good, which is on my lower.
I have Darkness Falls and Light in the Dark higher than the book one finale. So
yeah, I don't agree with that, but I have Darkness Falls as 41. That's pretty low. So bottom 10, which is interesting. But again, I didn't rewatch it, so I don't
know. It's really interesting because I really am not the biggest fan of book two, but I like the fit. I don't know.
Well, it has Zhao, so there you go. Chris, who claims to be the hashtag Sassy Brian Anon, so I can only take your word for it, Chris, because you sent that in on Anon, so no.
Yeah, Chris.
But that is it was a very good hashtag. So Chris says, number one, Korra alone. Korra's journey is so relatable, so important to her characterization in this episode, it's just amazing. Number two, The Last Stand, an awesome finale with great action scenes and every character has a satisfying moment. Number three, The Guide. The landscapes are beautiful. Jenora becomes a more interesting character. Korra reunites with Tenzin and Co. This is the beginning of the good part of book two to me. Number four, When Extremes Meet. I love the darker tone of this episode, and the scene where Korra is ready to kill Tarlok, the biggest twist occurs, is great. Five, The Metal Clan. Everything about this episode and everything about Zafu are interesting and really sets the tone for the next few episodes. So, here's the same one and two as me. The Guide and When Extremes Meet are most notable.
I disagree with both of those.
Let's briefly discuss The Guide. I didn't rewatch this, and I haven't since the week it aired, but this episode is Jenora-centric, so I like it in that regard, but I don't remember it being any good.
Yeah, I don't remember,
middle of my decent tier.
I put it in very good.
Why? You rewatched it recently. What did you like about it?
I don't know.
Do you remember it all?
This is such a hard question, because I, rewatched all...
Yeah, it's maybe hard to...
within, the last few days.
I mean, this one's about the Tenzin's spirituality.
Yeah, Tenzin be like,
I don't remember any sort of B-plot with it, though.
Jenora's seeing the flying bunnies.
I think that's why I liked it so much. It was just no B-plot.
Maybe, I guess. Because
if you remember season two, it was like A, B, C plot for 50,000 episodes, and it was so boring. it was awful.
I mean, I don't remember if it does.
But this one, they just took their time and focus on that's what I liked about it. I think
Jenora sees the spirits, and Kaya notices that she sees the spirits.
They took their time.
I mean, points for Kaya because we have to savor our moments with her.
I really don't like that they didn't develop Jenora and Kaya more. Like, that could have been really cool.
Well, they also wrote Kaya out.
Yeah, just Kaya in general. But what was I saying? Yeah, the last episode animated by Studio Pierrot. And the problem is, the problem, yes, really.
That's a repeat. I didn't even notice when I was
watching. I don't have anything to say other than that. Parrot, yeah, Jenora is great, so there you go.
I thought it was a really good episode.
I think Tenzin was just really annoying in that episode.
The problem is, I never liked Tenzin except for two episodes. That's the thing.
I love Tenzin, but I still just don't care about the guide. I was remembering it, and I'm I don't care. So it's in my DC.
It could have been very interesting.
I agree.
This was the episode where I realized why Dylan loves Jenora so much.
Why?
Because
she's amazing.
Because she's the best in the history of the world. Okay, there you go. The other one Chris has highly that we haven't had is When Extremes Meet. Everyone has a random book one episode.
Random.
That's the thing, though. There's not really consensus. When Extremes Meet is really notable for its final act. with Korra and Tarlok in Tarlok's office. And Turlurk's a Blurbender, Ermagerd! And
I never think about that whenever I think about this episode.
It's at the very end. And
I didn't watch.
And Korra is really violent with Tarlok. Those are the most notable things, I think.
I keep forgetting, because I put
She's a generally violent person.
Yeah. No, but this is, I think this is, this and the head in head in Naga are the most notable, notably violent things that Korra does. Korra goes for, like, the kill here with Tarlok, I think. And it's pretty, pretty rough.
But then
well, she doesn't have a moped to run people down with, so.
Yeah. I mean, true. True. Yeah, no.
She will now that she dates a Sami.
I think act, I think, no, here's the thing about When Extremes Meet. Act one, I think, is them on Air Temple Island. I'm trying to remember my, my opinions. Act one is them on Air Temple Island, which is a great dynamic. Oh, yeah, and this is the one where we get Iki going, and, the one where you see the ones on Tumblr of Korra and Asami going into the room and all the Korra Asami stuff. That's from this episode.
And then she bends Iki like away.
And then they're like,
and it begins.
Yeah, and I really like that, and I really like the ending, although not as much. But I think to me the act two is just really stale.
That's what ruins the
episode. It's like with them outside and the getting arrested and stuff like that. That's
just bleh.
But I think this is one of the more notable episodes of book one for me. Ellie says, best episodes after all these years. It was a great opening to book four after the book three finale. It caught up with everyone covering what had gone on in 3 years. Great fight scenes showed Kavira's intimidating. And then he has other stuff, which we'll get to later. Yeah. After all these years, I think I'm a bigger fan of this than the rest of you. But even so, it is my 9th-ranked episode. I've talked about this on the first. I actually think this episode is more impressive in retrospect.
Wow.
It's just so, it establishes everything after a time skip. It's just so good. It's like every sort of dynamic, it catches us up on everything except for, Korra. And it just does such a good job of initially characterizing Kavira. I think that this remains Kavira's best characterization episode. I don't know if you guys would agree.
Well, I mean, aside from like the finale.
I think it's better than the finale.
I think it's good. It did a really, really amazing intro to Kavira. Yeah, it was not a character except that random metal bender who had a name and a music cue.
A music cue.
Before then. And I think Kuvira's parts are actually my favorite. I didn't really care about what was going on in Republic
City.
Yeah,
I didn't care about any of it.
Sorry. It's like, oh, there's a statue. Oh, they're cutting a ribbon. So.
Yeah, and no.
I think Dylan has it. Like, okay, you go.
Well, I think that's the virtue of them being, like, after all these years and doing a lot of exposition cleanup lines in Republic City, whereas in Kavira we were able to get right into the action.
Yeah.
I think it's fun that Dylan has it at number 9. Like, I have it at number 40.
I have it in, like, good, and I almost put it...
Where is it?
This is one of those episodes to me that is just so complete and within itself. Like,
maybe because I have a huge... personal bias against before.
Oh, I have it in decent.
It's, I mean, this is the beginning.
Yeah, I almost put it in decent.
No.
Just wasn't that impressed with the
mine's in decent.
What I love about Kirillier's characterization, I love the governor and the entire situation surrounding them. I think it's incredibly well done within the entire episode. I love the focus on Opal and Kai. I think that's really interesting, even though they don't go back to them. I think this really stands out more because of that.
Kai never speaks again.
And, the Bopal stuff, they established the character moments between Kuvira and everyone else. Like, it's just incredibly well done to me. Just the entire thing. Like, this is one of those ones, like the Metal Clan, where it's like, everything's good. Everything that happens is good. Except for maybe the initial fight scene with Opal and Kai. That's a little boring to me. Korra Goddess 101 says, best Korra episodes. Korra Alone, Venom of the Red Lotus, Beginnings, and The Winner Is. There you go.
Hmm. Everyone does have a random.
Yeah, there's a random book.
It's never the same one.
Yeah, I don't think it should.
What is that?
I don't think any book. I don't think the book one episodes achieve the heights that the later ones do. That's the thing, I guess.
I don't agree at all with "And the Winner Is." That's my bad.
I don't see much of a difference between "And the Winner Is" and "Spirit of Competition." Like, they're similar to me.
That's your problem.
They both have pro bending. They're similar, therefore.
The problem is that The Winner Is has all the pro-bending, and it's just so boring.
I think, so, And The Winner Is pro-bending plus action. Spirit of Competition is pro-bending plus romantic.
Good.
So, there you go.
We all know how much of a sentimental sucker I am.
Yeah, exactly. That's Sam. Okay. Let's get into, what do I have next on the outline? Notable differences, or No, what are our worst episodes? Let's go through what I don't have much to say on this, but let's go over what's in our bad tier. And if you don't have much in our your bad tier, you can go into what's in
I've
the decent tier.
I've got two
too.
In my bad tier.
So my bad tier, I have a very specific five episodes. Civil Wars Part 1, The Southern Lights, Civil Wars Part 2, Peacekeepers. Those are the standards. 202 to 205, it's the black hole of the series. Four bad episodes. The more notable one I have in bad tier is Welcome to Republic City. I've talked about this fairly at length on the podcast before.
I have that ranked much.
Yeah,
much
so do you all. So I have you all have it higher. So to me,
I have it in very good.
To me, the problem with Welcome to Republic City is the dialogue. I can't get past a lot of the stuff Cora's and the other people are saying. That's one of the good lines of the episode. But yeah, no, it's just very. To me, this feels even more piloty than Boy in the Iceberg does for Avatar. It's just much more. Less polished than the rest of the series.
Mm-mm.
But I don't hate it as much as 202, 202 to 205. So there you go. Mel, what do you have in your bottom tier?
I have Peacekeepers.
Who doesn't?
Peacekeepers is the worst episode of Korra.
Get a real dog.
Stand at line, get a real dog. That's the only good part of that. And I have The Sting as my least favorite episode.
There you go. Here's the second big difference.
I think it's so boring.
Okay, talk about The Sting.
Oh my god, I rewatched it because I got book two for Christmas, and it's so boring. I mean, I don't care about, no offense Asami, but I don't care. It's like, and I think it's a problem with book two that there's so much, it's interesting though, because there's not much going on, and yet they found a way to make it ridiculously complicated when they didn't have to. Mako just annoys the heck out of me, so I think that's part of the problem. And I also just cringe at their attempt to reassert the love triangle again, which is really annoying. I think they made Sami's character a lot dumber than she is, and I just hate that episode.
Okay. Well, first of all, first thing we note, all four of us has Peacekeepers as the worst episode of the show.
Yes.
So we have consensus there. So, Mel, me and Sam have trapped you. And we went back and listened to the Sting podcast.
Oh, did I rank
you ranked the Sting a 7 out of 10.
That's actually pretty low for me.
That's pretty low, but I wonder why you thought more highly of it then. Interesting.
Probably because it was just, and this is my thing, because I went back to think about what I ranked The Last Stand, and I think it's difficult to rank them right after you first see them when you don't know what's coming.
And also because the first part before The Sting, it was so pathetic that of course
I watching that episode again, just I wanted to bang my head in against the wall. It was so boring.
Okay, so I have The Sting.
The dialogue was bad. Two-toed pink. Like, what the?
I have The Sting at 20. Delaney has The Sting in The Amazing.
Oh yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. There was already a two-toed pig on the south side.
Sam, where does Sam have The Sting?
God,
amazing.
In The Amazing tier. Yeah so to me, this has always been the top of my very good tier. I've talked extensively about this in podcast before, but what I love about The Sting
operation.
What I love about The Sting, I actually really love Two-Toed Ping. I think the dialogue involving him is hilarious. I think Mako and Asami's dynamic is at its best here. This is the Masami episode, I would say. It's really interesting characterization of Asami and her vulnerability and stuff like that. She's at her worst, but like that's like the point, you know, like this is the terrible things keep happening to her, and she's at her low point here, and then she reverts back to Mako and early. I don't like that she does that, but I kind of it's decent how it's portrayed, and I really like how the thing of the episode, the tone, like it's like very copy, like a cop movie, more so than any other ones. It's like let's go into this investigation and stuff like that. And to me, the last notable thing is the speedboat. Chase scene, which is really cool.
It's a really good scene.
I really like that scene. Sam or Delaney, what do you? You both have an amazing.
It's like Scooby Doo Legend of Korra. Who doesn't love that? It's so good. They're so dumb and they do dumb things, and I love it. And even though I hate Mako with a burning passion, it's just like I just really enjoyed it. And I mean, even the criminals make fun of Mako. It's great.
Yeah, there you go. That's a positive.
And again, the boat scene's so good. And yeah, again with Asami. But then when I say great character moment, it's not like good. I don't know how to say this. Like, it's not a great character moment, but like for her, like it means a lot. Like for her characterization and like where she is at that point. And so like. I can deal with it better that way than I can, like, when I watched it and I just wanted to throw up. But I just love the Sting. Like, it was just great. It's Scooby-Doo. I'm just a sucker for episodes like that. It was just, like, if you give me a mystery and you have people try and solve it, I'm in. Like, it doesn't matter what the mystery is. Like, I'm all for it.
I don't know. It's interesting. Did you hold this opinion before a rewatch, or is this a rewatch-specific opinion?
Me?
Melanie.
What? Oh, you're talking... Whoa!
Melanie.
Whoa.
Melanie.
What? I did rewatch it.
Yeah, no, I'm saying, did you think it was the worst episode before, or the second worst episode before a rewatch?
No, because here's the thing, is I hadn't watched book two in a while, and they all jumbled together in a mess of ew.
Wait, you have this as the worst.
Listen.
You don't have Peacekeepers as the worst. Sorry, I'm correcting myself. You have this as the worst, not Peacekeepers. So,
yes, I have Sting as the worst. Anyway, continue. I rewatched it, I guess like last week, because I was watching them all, and I was so bored. It's so boring. I don't care. And I think that's just a me thing. I don't think, I mean, not to say there's anything inherently wrong with the episode, maybe, I don't know. I was annoyed with the dialogue. I think it was kind of very kiddish dialogue. I didn't care about the, if I had to hear Sting Operation one more time, we're doing a Sting Operation. Chief, we did a Sting Operation. Like,
it's because Mako's dumb, though.
Yeah.
God, I just stopped talking. And I think, like, I think it is valid to say, you know, like, oh, Asami's at her lowest. It's really interesting how she, you know, reacted there. However, and so I don't mind the part where she kissed Mako in the factory. Like, that, I'm fine with. I'm like, that's interesting. It's the part later when she shows up in his apartment and they're like, oh, yeah, let's do this again. That, I think, is dumb.
Yes, I agree.
Did they do the diddly-doo in this episode?
I mean, maybe. If they did, I think it would be dumb. I mean, I can understand the gut reaction to immediately be, like, reacting to Mako because he's there. That, I think, is really interesting. It's later when she's, like, trying to pursue a relationship with him again that I think makes her a little bit less intelligent than she's been portrayed before.
Yes.
I think she certainly seems not that intelligent here, but I take that as a function of her at her lowest point and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. What is did the diddly do? Is that's from the Ask You God on the Chatty Rava account, right?
Yes.
Did you and Batu do this?
We had a lot of talk last night about
oh, God,
who, what, I when, mean... and where in terms of the diddly do.
Okay, so yeah, I don't know. That's interesting. I don't. You got. I would switch.
He
that
yelled in... at me last night. If anyone's curious, I sent him these rankings. And he basically did the same exact thing
I would
that
switch
he did just now.
Peacekeepers, just, you know, just for sanity's sake. But
no, the dog line's the best line.
Okay, let's get into notable differences between the rest, all of our rankings, which we've mostly talked about. The two
get
notable
a real
ones we
dog.
Talked about. So the Sting. Mel, your book two rankings are particularly interesting. First thing to note is that you hate book two more than the rest of us, which is interesting.
Yeah.
The second thing to note is that you have Civil Wars parts 1 and 2 in the good tier. Talk
what?
About those two episodes.
I didn't mind it because I didn't mind. Well, I did mind it a little bit, but what I didn't mind is what they were trying to do. I thought the concept was interesting, and the execution is where it fell flat. Which should, you know, put it down yonder, but I don't know. It kept me interested.
Civil Wars Part 1 has the Iki Tea Party scenes, right? Or is that
yes.
Part 2? Which one is
I
it?
Think that's Part 2. No, it's Part 2 because they go looking for her in Part 1.
You gotta
one.
Give it up for the baby voice. And...
Yeah, that's
the other thing, too, that I enjoy, too. I liked that they threw in the stuff with Aang's kids. And contrary to what most people's opinions are, I actually like the fact that they're suggesting that Aang wasn't exactly the most... the bestest father that he could.
I feel like you.
A year ago, I feel like you didn't
that.
Like that.
I feel like you criticized
no,
that
I,
a lot
I,
on the podcast.
No, I've talked about this before. I don't think it's. I made posts about it before. I don't think it's as bad as ever. Because Dylan was getting mad back when it happened because he didn't like. How did you put it? You were like, they're tarnishing the memory of my favorite character. And I was like, yeah, that's true. Like, it's not great. But at the same time, I liked the fact that for the first time in, like, ever, Aang wasn't a perfect human being.
Granted,
it didn't have to happen after he died when he couldn't defend himself.
Now look, I don't have the best memory, but I think you're actually completely reversed here on what happened.
You literally said...
No, I don't think I said that. I think I didn't mind that. I don't think I cared that it was tarnishing
Aang.
Dylan,
because
we can find this, but no, I remember you being the most critical, like, in our episode discussions of their the sibling dynamic. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's what I remember.
Possibly the sibling dynamic. I don't mind, though, the siblings to Aang dynamic.
I'm pretty sure I didn't say the tarnishing reputation. I might have said that quoting someone, but I don't think I said that as my own opinion. Okay.
I won't go find it. What is this?
I don't have much to say. No, we're going to find it during the podcast. I don't have much to say on the Civil Wars because I haven't watched them since they aired, so I don't know.
I mean, obviously the bison thing's great and like the sibling thing, but I don't know. I just did not. Oh, just the black hole. That was that part.
Yeah.
I am open to changing my opinions as well when I think I'm smarter now than I was when
it's valid. Yeah. Well.
Yeah, a lot of my opinions on the episodes have changed.
Yeah.
Well, I also think too it's a function of, again, like I think you watch an episode and you immediately either have a great reaction to it or a bad reaction to it. And even middle reactions are kind of a bad reaction. So I think it's kind of slightly inaccurate to grade them immediately after we watch them.
You say after we did that for literally every
episode. Yeah, because I completely changed my opinion on The Last Stand. And I did not schedule the podcast.
It should be noted, by the way, I thought about this. We had an episode discussion either the day or the day after for every single episode of Legend of Korra. So
there you go.
Yes. Other things. For big differences, I'm looking for episodes that are two tiers away from what I or other people have them. So I'm on Mill's rankings right now. Original Airbender's in the decent tier. That's the one that stands out to me.
I think that's my reaction every time.
Yeah.
It was the closest thing that... Not even the closest thing. I'm going to be honest. That was filler. I mean, it was great. You know, obviously, I don't love Jenora as much as Dylan worships the ground she walks on. I think she's a great character, and I do like when she's speaking. I thought the interactions between her and Kai were interesting. However, it was just such a filler episode with these bison hunters and them going to get these little baby bison. Like, they were cute, but this did nothing for me.
So... Yeah, I mean, I don't love how you approach criticizing that because I don't think filler's bad. That's the thing.
I don't think it's necessarily bad. However, I think I just the way I react to it is instant. I mean, I guess it's because I'm not used to watching shows with filler. It's like a lot of the other shows I watch don't. They are completely plot-driven from point A to point B. And even, like, if you look at Buffy, which you could argue Buffy the Vampire Slayer has a lot of filler episodes, Joss Whedon does extremely creative things when he's got these sort of filler episodes. And I just hold that kind of stuff to a higher standard, I think. Which isn't necessarily good or bad. I think it's just I maybe need to reevaluate the way I look at it.
I'll talk about this from a positive perspective in a minute. Continuing on your rankings, Beyond the Wilds and the good tier, at the bottom of the good tier at that.
I didn't like that, and I specifically remember not liking that on the podcast, so don't dig up the podcast.
I think you probably didn't.
I didn't like it because I thought the spirit vines were just a way to get her to Zaheer. They didn't feel very important because we hadn't had any talk of the spirit vines attacking people before. Granted, I know that they were like doing it supposedly because Kuvira was doing some stuff, but I don't know. I didn't think there was a precedent for all that vine nonsense, and it was literally just a way to get her to talk to Zaheer.
And I'll talk about this from a positive perspective in a minute. I just had one. We talked about Welcome to Republic City. We talked about another one that you have. You have Operation Beifong in the good tier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Another one that we have higher.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I thought Toph's dialogue is a little annoying. I love the fight between Sue and Kuvira, though. I don't know. It was interesting and it was a good episode, but I think, I don't know, I didn't jive. I mean, this is like, I don't know, usually I have a reason. This one, I don't know.
Problem is that like one's like in the middle, at least for me, like I don't like have a super strong opinion on, so it's just hard for me to like defend why they're in the middle.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, that's where it is.
Yeah. But unless I see another one, let's talk Old Wounds. I have Old Wounds in very good. Sam has it in good. You and Delaney have it in amazing. I'm interested to see why you guys think it deserves to be in the amazing too.
Delaney, do you want to go first?
I mean, the real reason, but I love Old Wounds. Like, it's so, like, I just think it's, and I know, like, obviously Mel, I don't know how, to the extent with which Mel agrees, but I know when we watched it, everyone was like, Metal Clan's so much better than Old Wounds, whatever, whatever. And I'm like, no, Old Wounds is so good. It's so great. I don't like it. Just everything about it, just good. Like, I enjoyed all of it. And I'm actually shocked that you like it, Mel, because you don't like flashbacks. So I'm a little,
Yeah. I think it's because this didn't rely on flashbacks as much as, because literally they were there to inform the plot of the present episode, as opposed to Zuko, which alone, which was like literally half the episode was flashbacks. Yeah. I liked that it was, we got dynamic for Lin, who was not even a character in book two.
So good.
I love this stuff between, cause at first when they introduced Sue and the other Beifongs, and I was like, are you kidding me? Like, really?
Yeah, like we need
it
more.
It turned out really, really great. And this is the episode why it turned out really, really great.
And the Sue and Lin, like, I mean, like, it just sort of, like, for me especially, like, Lin was my favorite character first episode. I was like, you are my favorite character, you're mine, I love you, Lin's great. And then, I mean, and she does stuff in book one, she has her sacrifice, but then we get to book three and Lin becomes a character. Like, we have all this amazing development, and again, you know, the Metal Clan and Old Wounds sets up book four. Like, and you know, of course, it helps with the rest of book three, but I mean, we need these episodes to set up book four. It's just so good, and like the development of her character.
Yeah, I really appreciate too that this was all about character stuff. Like, I think there was minimal amount. I can't remember. Which is stupid because I watched it like last week, but it had some stuff, I guess, with the Red Lotus in it because this was right before whatchamacallit, the one where they attacked with the lava, but I just loved how this was completely in harm's way. Thank you. I just loved how this was completely character, like not even character driven because nothing was happening. It was just a look at the characters and character dynamic, and I think that could have easily gone really bad, like Spirit of Competition, or it could have gone really great. And in this case, it went really great.
The Terror Within is 308, and Harm's Way is 304.
Sorry.
Moving along somewhat quickly, the aftermath. Me and Delaney have it in the decent tier. Mel and Sam have it in very good. The aftermath. The aftermath is the one with Asami and Hiroshi.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to find it in my tier. Sam, okay, so it's kind of in the middle.
Do you have thoughts on this, Sam?
It was an episode. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
What do you want me to say here?
Yeah. I mean, the book one ones are kind of garbled.
Korosami. There you go.
I don't think there was Korosami in this.
They ride that part together.
Is that in the aftermath?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. Very good. Just based on that. Okay. Mel, any thoughts on it?
This was right after Hiroshi, right?
This was the Hiroshi one. This was the one.
This was the Hiroshi. Okay.
Yeah, this
okay,
is
so,
the
yeah. So then I did put it where I wanted it to. Okay. So I thought it was great. I thought it was good stuff. I mean, I loved the way that Hiroshi's plot turned out. Even though it was kind of obvious, I guess. I liked that. It's interesting because at first I had a love-hate relationship with Asami choosing not to side with him. Not that I think that she should, but at that point I don't know if she was enough of a character for me to justify that. At this point, looking back, I do think it was really interesting. I liked that she zapped him with the glove. I liked the fight scenes. And stuff and things, Lori.
Stuff and things. I realized I didn't get we didn't even finish the bad tier. Delaney, what are the worst episodes in the bad tier, and why do you think so? Quickly.
Okay, in my bad tier. Okay, why do I have so many things up in? Okay.
Rebel Spirit. Yeah, why is Rebel Spirit in the bad tier?
Just so, that one, it's kind of painful to watch that episode. Like, just, like, the actual visuals of that episode are kind of painful. And, like, even though I do love, like, the design of the, like, I don't know, it's just, the episode... It's so boring, and then also, like, I'm not cool with, Makora date thing, like, no, I just really did not, like, this episode I just don't care about at all. I'm just like, this episode did nothing for me, we're opening the season, and I don't care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the rest of the ones you have in bad we've talked about, but any other comments on Civil War, Spirit of Competition, and Peacekeepers? We've discussed all of them.
They're just, I mean, I actually, like... I flip-flopped a lot with Civil Wars Part 1 and Civil Wars Part 2, like, between putting them in decent and bad, because there are shining moments like Iki naming the bison. But just overall, when I think about these episodes, I just cringe, and rewatching them is just, and then I'm like, I'd have to, like, when I was telling my friends, like, I promise it gets better, like, hang in with me, like, this isn't, like, it's okay.
There you go. Yeah. Sam, we talked about Anne the Winner is in your bad tier. Any other comments on that or the Civil Wars or Peacekeepers?
No.
Yes, we kind of have mostly agreeance in the bad tier. Got to the notable differences to a certain extent. I want to talk about, give everyone a chance to talk about episodes in their amazing tier.
There is one glaring difference.
What is the glaring difference?
The Metal Clan.
Well, yeah, I guess you can respond to it. I mean, we talked about it before, but yeah, if you want to respond to me having, and others having that highly.
I have the Metal Clan in the middle of my good tier. I didn't think it was the most amazing episode ever. Dylan seems to think it's perfect. I disagree. I think it's very boring. But not that boring. The end.
The end. Yeah. I mean, I've said why I like it, so.
Maybe because Dylan likes it so much, maybe that's why I don't like it.
I think that's an interesting viewpoint. It could be. So let's, especially for Mel, but let's, for all of us too, let's go through and any episodes you want to talk about in your amazing tier, you can. Sam, you could start if you want.
Okay, I haven't talked much. I don't know. Amazing tier is pretty much, I have Enter the Void, Long Live the Queen, Rebirth, Last Stand, Earth Queen, Harmonic Convergence, and The Sting. I think Harmonic Convergence is an interesting one to talk about.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Do you like the boomy stuff in it?
I was thoroughly entertained when I was watching it. And isn't that what it's all about?
Yeah,
I suppose. Being entertained for like 20 minutes and not having to think about life.
Yeah, that's true.
And the hardships that it brings. That's how I felt during this. I felt very entertained.
What about Earth Queen? I think that's the worst one of book three, and you have it pretty high, yeah.
I don't know. Because I really like Bossing Say.
Yeah.
I think Long Live the Queen's the worst.
My problem, yes. we'll talk about that in a minute. My problem with Earth Queen are the Kai scenes, which are kind of dumb.
That's like the good part.
But then it's like Mako and Bolin's family.
Yeah, yeah, you really like Mako. Talk about that, the family dynamic with Mako and Bolin.
I don't know. It was great. Because like Grandma Yin and like their parents are dead and they don't know. It's like, so painful, but it's so great.
Yeah, I mean, you really connect to Bolin in a way that the rest of us don't, so I think that might make sense that you...
Me and Bolin are the same person.
Yeah, so I think it might make sense you like those scenes better. Yeah.
I don't know, I just really love Bossing Say. Like, in book two of Avatar, that's the best book since we're, like, in Bossing Say.
Yeah.
And it's such a great hub to be in.
A hub, yes. And Long Live the Queen is another one.
Somebody dies. That's the first instance of straight up.
So I think we all agree that the B plot of Long Live the Queen is incredible. The stuff that happens in Bossing Say, but what do you think of the Korra and Asami scenes?
Straight up fan fiction that I love.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean it's definitely like notable because it's just them being awesome together. And in retrospect, like not even in retrospect, we knew at the time this is like, oh, this is like the Korra Asami episode. But yeah, I mean my problem has always been the dialogue and. It's just storytelling with that A-plot. Like, I haven't been in love with
it. Like a junk.
Yeah, just stuff like that. Just cringe.
So good.
Korra broke things.
I don't know, like, I want to love the A-plot, but I just don't. I don't know.
Just Korra and Asami with, like, a whole four other people who are on that. Why weren't there four people on the airship?
Yeah.
That always bothered me. There's only four of them. Four,
because it's Cabbage Corps.
Oh.
Yep.
It only takes four pilots, and that's why it crashed.
Yep, that's why.
Also, the voice of Danny Phantom was one of the people.
Oh, nice.
Just found that out yesterday.
Face?
I don't know.
What's his face? Yeah.
Also, the desert. I just really like the Earth Kingdom a lot.
Yeah, you are the Earth Kingdom person. There you go.
My shirt's so nagger now.
Democratic States of Earth.
No.
The Democratic Republic of the Earth.
All right, let's...
Okay, Delaney, what's in... Any ones in your... Yeah, the United Earth Republic. There you go.
United Earth Republic. There we go.
Any episode you want to talk about in your amazing tier, Delaney?
Well, we already talked about Beginnings. Like, I love Beginnings. Like, both parts. And even when, like...
What about part one? Because that's not one I think the rest of us has as highly as you.
I love... Like, I just like all of it. I know. Like, I'm... Like, I remember, like... I think I was on that podcast... Yes, talking about Beginnings, and it was like, I love this, and then everyone talked about the dialogue, like, yeah, obviously I noticed sometimes the dialogue, like, I don't know, I just loved it, I thoroughly enjoyed watching all of Beginnings, like, it was amazing, blew me away, and it's only really because of book three and book four that, like, Beginnings isn't, like, in best ever or anything, because, like, I just really enjoy those episodes, and, like, I'd like eat that stuff up. Like, I'm like, I like the mythology, and like, yeah, the retconning sucked and I was annoyed, but like, I just eat that stuff up. Like, I love it, and the episodes are so beautiful. Like, just absolutely stunning, and just, I loved it. Juan is a jerk, but I like Juan, and this is a little rude of me, but I remember saying on the podcast, I was like, I liked Juan more than Korra at that point. Like, I didn't like Korra, I didn't care about Korra as a character. And obviously now that has changed, because Korra is the bae, but at that time, I really liked Juan, and I didn't really care about Korra, and of course Vatu is like the best thing ever. So, there you go. All about beginnings.
Any other ones notable from this love?
We already talked a lot of about
most of them, yeah.
And like Day of the Colossus, like I just and the Terror Within and Enter the Void, like they're amazing, like they're great.
Yeah.
And Operation Beifong is my life, and like the episode I've been waiting 10 years for, and it happened.
It happened.
I didn't even know I was waiting for it for that long, but I did. I was. It was so good, so great. Just everything about it has all my favorite people in it. And they're doing great things. It's amazing. Like Operation Beifong is just. And I, of course, like, this is where, like, my favorites bleed in, but, I mean, like, it took a lot of restraint not to put Operation Beifong in Best Ever.
Restraint. I mean, yeah.
I mean, I just, I mean.
It's certainly very good, like.
Yeah, you know. And it just, I mean, and it's so, like, just Toph, just, I love, like, they're my favorite characters, it's so great. And I just really enjoyed it, and, like, really the only downside for me in this episode was the Bopal at the end. Because I didn't like that, because I didn't like how that turned out. But, like, the Toph and Lin interactions were so good. And we had Toph and Lin do the seismic sense, and it was just too much. It was too much. It was so great.
So great.
Yes.
Well, Mel, I might ask you to stop talking to Ellie for a second. And tell us what you're in your amazing tier, especially because you only had one in Best Ever. So you can go through all of them and discuss, you know, even if we discuss
my amazing tier. Korra alone's the top, just because Korra alone. Enter the Void I have actually above The Last Stand, because I still think Enter the Void is very good, even though a lot of people don't like it as much. I thought it had great fight scenes, and I thought it had a lot of great suspense and all that, and the part where the airbenders turned to water, I was just like, so. Shush, Last Stand was 3. I really like The Last Stand. I like the emotional impact of that talk, that little chit-chat. Chatty Korra in the spirit world with Kuvira, but I think the Colossus is ridiculous. And I also thought some of the dialogue in that scene was Particularly, I hate the fact that she felt the need to explain every facet of how they were alike after saying it. Like, just let it go.
More hard-headed and blood.
Yep. Voice in the Night, talked about it. Really, really like it. Metal Clan, I really liked. Not nearly as much as Dylan. But I tried very hard because he's obsessed with it. Old Wounds, I talked about. The Stakeout. So I put the Stakeout at the bottom of my amazing tier just because going back, the last act and maybe even the last part of the last act was what was really amazing about the Stakeout. The rest of it was just kind of
I think I remember
average,
you having problems with the Pie Show.
The Pie Show was a big issue because it literally went nowhere. Like, I'm thinking, okay, they're talking about this stuff, but literally they're just talking to fill time while they're staking out. So.
Pie Show is perfect.
And then Pabu ruins the board. Well, it's about the win.
Except that the Pie Show is perfect and everything is perfect. There you go.
Yeah, so.
All right. I'm going to briefly go through the 12 episodes in my amazing tier because there's a lot. Except I closed it, so I'll have to reopen that first. But the first one is Beyond the Wilds. That's my number 7 episode. Yes. I mean, I've talked about this recently. Every scene is good. The Opal scene is incredible. Opal blowing up Bolin, and I love this here stuff, unlike some people. But it's not that I'm right or wrong, but I really like that. Original Airbenders, the positive side of this episode. It's the airbender dynamics are so good. The weakest part of this episode is Tenzin becoming Boomy. But even that is not done terribly. The Kai and Jinora scenes are incredible. Just everything with Jinora. Jinora is incredible, obviously. And the conflict at the end is really creative. The villain's really creative. And it's really interesting. Also, the Jinora sending that little spirit is really cute. After all these years, I talked about that. Rebirth should be noted. I think it's in the upper echelon of episodes. Rebirth is the funniest episode of the show. It has the Ryu scene, which is one of the top 5 episodes of the show. It has the montage of Tenzin trying to convince people to become airbenders, which is incredible. Rebirth is an elite episode. A New Spiritual Asia, I talked about Korra and Jinora's dynamic and everything happening in the spirit world, and it's an incredibly gorgeous episode. Operation Beifong, as Delaney talked about is just incredibly solid. It's the this episode makes old wounds and the like so much better because it just really ties together all the Feifeng dynamics. A Breath of Fresh Air, 301. This is another just basically perfect episode. Just notable scenes are Tenzin and Kid and Air Kids hugging about the new Airbenders. I don't even know what else happens, but it's all great, and it's a great start to the season. Day of the Colossus, it's great. We talked about it recently. Shouldn't be overlooked. Great action episode. The Revelation is one I love. I think it's the best episode of Book One. It's the best McCore episode by far, which isn't saying anything, but I really love the rally at the end, and I really love the Chief Walker fight scene, as discussed last podcast. Endgame. So now I can discuss the Book One finale, which I rewatched yesterday. And it's really good. That's the surprising thing. The Book One finale is just actually really good. It's the last episode, so let's talk about Endgame. It hits a ton of high notes at the end. You know, like, yes, Korra randomly airbending is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Yes, granted. Korra getting energy bending from Aang is dumb, but that one's not as offensive because who cares? Like, it's just random stuff happening at the end of the season. Korra getting airbending is more offensive, but I don't really care. That episode is epic. The dynamics are great. Amon is great. How they approach the reveal of Noatak publicly is great. And most notably, the murder suicide scene is absurdly good, especially even better in context. Like, just watching that episode again, so good. I don't know. I think I was probably more down on it when it aired because of the plot holes, but going back and not caring about the plot holes, it's just very good. Enter the Void that's the first part of the Book 3 finale. I also really like it. Not as much as Mel, but it's still in my amazing tier. It's just very solid. It has some incredibly notable scenes. The Terror Within, this episode does have Mako being an annoying detective, but it also has two of the best scenes in the history of the show, the incredible fight sequence in Act 2, which I talked about extensively last podcast, them surrounding themselves with lava, the extensive scenario scene, and the dinner scene. Opal's farewell dinner is incredible. The Airbender Finder, Kurosami, and then Skeletons in the Closet, the first part of the finale. I really don't necessarily like Act 1 of this episode, but the flashbacks with Amon and Tarlac are really good. Really, really good. And I love the dynamics there. It's really well done. Any comments on any of those?
You like everything too much.
I mean, I have all the ones that you're like raving about. I'm like, no, like I just put them down. Like I really didn't like after rewatch, like I do not care about the Book One finale. And part of it's a lot of it's because I'm heartbroken because the past lives didn't come back. But I don't know, like, I just don't know what it was, or I guess I was just so, after going through three seasons of different villains, I'm sick of Amon, and I just didn't care, and, like, Book One, I don't know, and then there was another episode you said, I'm trying to think what it was, because, like, a lot of the episodes you have in this tier, I only have in, like, good. I'm trying to think, what is
this? Tisk.
I
don't know, I can't really help.
I can't remember now.
There you go, well, if it comes up again. So, there's our episode-specific stuff. Well, I was going to say something else. I don't remember.
Oh, yeah. I don't care about the Revelation.
Yeah. Well, you're wrong. But that's okay. I'm a McCora shipper for life, so I love the Revelation.
Clearly.
Yeah, clearly. It's the best one. Okay, anyway. So I think I was going to say something else. But let's get into our season point totals. Okay. Let me break this as brief as possible. If you look at my rankings, you'll see that next to each tier is a number. Best ever plus 4. So what you do... So basically, the season point totals are a per-episode season ranking. I want to assign a numerical value to a season based on your opinion of each individual episode within the season. So what you do is you take each number for each tier, you add up all of the ones within the season, and you come up with a number, you divide by the number of episodes in the season. Notably, it's 12 for Book 4, not 13, because you don't rank remembrances. And then you get a per episode season average. Briefly want to discuss this, what this season point total, and this is for you guys as well, because I've made you guys do this, but I don't think you really get it.
You did it for me.
Yeah, I did do it for you.
I attempted it.
and then it's hard. Math
I was
hard.
The only one who did it.
Sam did it faster than I did, so Sam's smarter than me.
She also did it quieter and with less complaining than you did.
Listen. But so, okay, here's what this per episode point season point total does do. This provides you a somewhat objective metric of what you think of each season on a per episode basis. That's all it does. What it doesn't do is tell you definitively what you think of a season. This isn't saying you have book one as a higher point total than book two, therefore you like book one better than book two. You can draw some conclusions. All it's saying is that as a sum of its parts, there you go, that's the way you should look at it. This tells you what you think of each season as a sum of its parts. I'm not saying that's the way it has to be, because I think there's factors for determining the valuation of a season that go beyond the sum of its parts. How plot threads run throughout a season is not something that is captured by this numerical system. This is only as a per episode basis, and if you don't factor in season long plot threads into your episode rankings, which you probably shouldn't, then that's not going to be displayed. So even though some season may get a higher one than other, you can still say you liked one other more than the other. So you arrive at an episode average. Let's go through all of ours, I guess. All of us have book three as the highest per episode average. I have it as a 2.77. Mel has book three as a 1.92. Delaney has it as a 2.77, exactly the same as me. Sam has it as a 2.31. So all of us, by this metric, like book three the best, and I would say that all of us probably would name book three as the best season of Korra.
Yes.
Yeah, because it is.
Yeah. Second, I have book four at a 2.67 episode average. This is by far the highest of all of you. Mel has it as a 1.25. Delaney has a 2.25. Sam has it as a 1.25. Me and Delaney both clearly have book four as the second highest episode average, much higher than books one or book two. Sam and Mel, it is much different. Mel has book one as a 1.67 average, higher than a book four. So Mel's rankings, based on this metric, go 3, 1, 4, 2. Sam's rankings, based on this metric, go 3, 4 equals 1 and 2. Four equals 1 and 2. So all of us have book 2 as the worst, but there's some discrepancy between books 1 and 4. My opinion, this system, regardless or not, I would say, if you had to tell me, like, I would say book 3 is the best season. Closely behind is book 4, and then there's a large gap, and then there's book 1, and then there's a large gap, and then there's book 2. That is how I would evaluate the rankings of the system. So why don't you tell me what you think the season rankings are, regardless of your numerical system, and then maybe comment on how the numerical system relates, starting with Mel.
Well, here's the thing. I think overall, I think individually book one had better episodes, better executed episodes. That was a big problem I had with book four. Rewatching it this week was very oddly paced, and the episodes did not connect together as well as book one. So episode to episode, I think book one was better. And I also think Amon as a character, I love Kuvira, but I think Amon's dynamic with Korra was a lot more interesting. And the episodes with him were very interesting as well. I think Kuvira's could have been equally, if not better, if they had fleshed out the sort of her being comparable to Korra stuff more instead of just throwing it in there at the end. That being said, I did like the overall arc specifically for Korra in four a lot better, and I liked that idea and that storyline better. But I don't think it executed it on the ground level as well as book one did.
Mm-hmm. And another thing that's notable about your point totals are your book two point total is 0.64, super low. Do you think you just absolutely hated book two?
Absolutely hate book two.
Yeah, okay, interesting. And we'll discuss that more in a second. Delaney, what are your season rankings, and how do your point totals relate to that?
Well, I mean, they go a lot.
Oh, yours are actually, oh, it should be noted, your book one and book two episode averages are the same.
My book one and book two?
Yeah, they're both one.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I remember when you did that, I was like, really?
Yeah.
Well, I think book two is worse than book one. Barely. I
And I think book three is better than book four, like based on episodes. But my big thing, like, and I find this really, like, the reason I want to say this is because it's really notable to me, is that I do not like Zaheer as a villain as much as everyone else. And I think the villain arc is better in book four than in book three, because I like Kuvira more than Zaheer. But, and obviously that's important because, like, that's the whole point of the season. We have these villains. But I still think book three overall is a better season. And I've rewatched the seasons. I've marathoned the seasons several times over the past 4 months. And I hate, like, okay, I don't want to say I hate book two, but, like, I actually appreciate book two a lot more than I did. And I ranked it a lot differently than I think I would have right after book two premiered. And I actually have, like, a more, like, I don't know, like, it, the gap between book one and book two is not as significant as it might have once been. And there, in some cases, I think book one is worse than book two in certain aspects. But, so, three, four, one, two.
Three, ranking, four, one, but, two. But, yeah. What, is it 3-4 or is it 4-3?
It is, I think, as a season and, like, rewatching and, like, overall, like, as a cohesive unit, book three is better than book four, but as a, based on the villain arc, and granted, I mean, book three and book four both have some of my favorite episodes ever.
You seem to be saying to me that book three is better than book four.
I am.
Okay.
For me, it's an important note that, like, I like Kuvira better than Zaheer. I do not care about Zaheer, and I think that book four in that aspect is stronger than book three for me, because I don't care about Zaheer. He's not my kind of villain. I just don't care.
Okay. Allie says hi, and Cora alone is the best episode. There you go. Allie's definitively decided. Oh, yeah, Britt. So Britt says that, before we get to Sam, Britt says that somewhere.
Wow.
Her top five episodes.
But, you know, somebody who isn't here is more important than I am.
Well, this is something that I should have said earlier. Britt's top five is Voice in the Night, The Sting, After All These Years, The Last Stand, and Long Live the Queen. Interesting.
This is very interesting.
We've discussed all of those, so that's... Yeah, The Sting, Mel, The Sting. Okay, Sam, what is your season ranking?
She's like a rabid Masami.
She is a rabid Masami.
She is, this is true.
Sam, what is your season ranking order, and how does that relate to your point total?
So, obviously we have book three, you know, it's the best. We all know that. I'm going to say after that it's book one, then book four, and then book two. Why is that? I hate book four. Well, I don't hate it, but it's like... really boring. I'm not invested in the plot to it at all. I find it very dull. It was pretty much a chore to watch the episodes. And the one, like, plot that I did like with the Cora, like, her stuff, they just, like, put it right in the toilet. It was awful. So, yeah. I think it matches my numerical mumbo-jumbo pretty well, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you've one and four as the same, but you're saying they're close anyway, I think.
Did you not like the Bolin moment? Like, I would have think that you would have a bit more of a positive, just because, like, I think some of the best character moments for Bolin are in book four, so I'm just curious.
Yeah, but then it's, like, Kuvira, and, like, she's so boring. I'm just so bored.
You were saying that.
You're so bored.
Yes.
Yeah, so...
Because it's just the politics. Politics are so boring, dude.
Briefly discussing book four,
Fascism.
I feel like the episode average quality in book four is incredibly high. I know most of you don't share that opinion, but I just think the average, no episode of book four to me goes below a very good. So I just am incredibly impressed with episode average. I also think that Cora's arc, I mean, Sam, like, we all agree Cora's mental arc starts out really good in Coraline. I kind of like how they end it. They don't resolve it because I don't think that's something that, like, can be resolved. I relate it to Asami and how it's working with her and support system, and I've talked about this. And I think that kind of relates really nice to it. I like the Zaheer scene and how it relates to a specific aspect of her thing. I think it's on the nose, again, on the nose can be good for me, so I don't necessarily, like, think it's bad on the nose in there. I would have loved for them to address it in the finale more, but I also find validity in keeping it open because this is not something that is conclusively resolved in life. So from that angle, I find some sort of goodness in it. I don't know.
I don't feel that way. I feel like they had it, and they dropped it.
To a certain extent, they were never gonna conclude this to our satisfaction.
I know. Yeah. But It's such a
disappointment. I think they did a little bit worse than I thought they'd do with it at the end, considering they started out so well. But I still don't hate it. I don't know. It's a tough discussion, and this could be a whole other podcast. Yeah.
It was a whole other podcast.
Feedback from you guys. Nick at Night says, worst episodes are, of course, the Awful Start to Book 2. The fandom consensus is pretty accurate regarding book rankings. 3/4/1/2. Anon says, I would say 3/4/1/2. Book 3's episodes were consistently very good and everything came together so well. Book 4 came very close and some of the episodes were even better than book 3's, but it felt a little predictable at times and the episodes sometimes felt like they're overstuffed with plot. Book 1 is a very fun show to watch and Anon was cool until his backstory. Books 2 worst stuff took up too much time. Holly says, season 3 is the best. I'm not sure if I view this the best because it was such a drastic difference in my expectations. I was still expecting something along the lines of season 2's quality, or if it was actually the best. Love the finale animation and had some pretty great Kurosami moments. Season 4 comes a close second. It was really cool to see how Bragg wrote about Korra's healing process, even though I would have loved to see more. If they didn't have the clip show episode, I would think it would be even better flow throughout the season overall. I feel like the clip show was such an interruption to the storyline. Also, the ending? How can you hate that? Season 1 is next. I feel like a lot of the elements in the season were rushed, but they also had to incorporate so many things into so many cool continuations of the Avatar world. Storyline was lacking, and the forced love angle was what really made the season not too great. Love the animation, though. Season 2 is last. It had great ideas and weren't executed well at all. Not great animation compared to the other books. I like how they tried to get spiritual stuff across the board. Constantly fell flat. I'm glad they ended the Macora aspect. The only positive I see from the season are honestly the fact that it set up the Airbenders coming back in season 3 and the Jinora arc was cool. A different Anon says, season-wise, obviously 3/4/1/ book 2. read all of Ray's. Anon says, book 3 is the best, then 4/1/2. Book 4 is very close, but I think the biggest weaknesses were that while Kavir's handling of the bandits and stabilizing of the Earth Empire seemed like a good thing, everyone kept talking about how bad it was after she took over the states, yet we were never shown this. The things that made her evil up until the classes were just things we heard from people instead of seeing. Did I read all of Chris's? Ellie says, season rankings, highest quality, book 3, book 4, book 1, book 2. Personal favorite, book 2, book 1, book 3, book 4. I really love the grandness of book 2. It really added stakes to the plot. It was also the most plot-driven book. The fight scenes were also the best also. Korra Goddess 101 says, Korra season rankings, 3/4/1/2. So literally everyone who gave us feedback said 3/4/1/2. That's interesting.
Wow.
Yeah, that was like 10 people.
Please rewatch book 4 and tell me how boring it is.
I disagree.
It's you like what you like. It's like, I really do not like book 1 very much.
The only reason
it's not bottom is because of how awful the beginning of book 2 was.
I was like, I rewatched 3 of the best episodes of book 1 yesterday, and I got a lot of feels for like a lot of... So. The thing with book 1 is that it was such event television in a way that the rest of the seasons weren't. Like, yeah. So many twists, and they really tried hard to be Game of Thrones, and they succeeded a little bit, but they ultimately didn't pay off well at the end of the season. But it was the event television aspect is something I do miss coming off of book 4.
It was such a simpler time.
One thing I want to note is that I really don't like the analysis of book 2 being awful. I think that book 2 at the end, as I've said, contains some of the best animation of the show. Yeah. And I think there's a few episodes at the end of book 2 which are incredibly good. Beginnings Part 2, A New Spiritual Age, Night of a Thousand Stars, which we didn't talk about on this podcast. Briefly, I want to mention how clever that episode is and how well executed it is across the board. It contains the best Southern Water Tribe scene in the season with the fight sequence there.
Also, it's Bolan-centric.
It's Bolan-centric, too. I really do like that episode.
Despite my hatred of Giant Spirit Korra, I think the Book 2 finale is better than the Book 1 finale.
Yeah, I think most people would say the Book 2 finale is the worst, but I don't think it's an unreasonable opinion. It's really hard to look past the plot flaws of the Book 2 finale.
I mean, there are a lot of plot flaws, but then there's also a lot of plot holes in the Book 1 finale. So.
There's certainly plot holes, but at least it, like, what's happening on screen, like, kind of makes sense. I don't know. But if you were to rewatch the book 2 finale and insert fairy wings on Jinora during that scene, I think it would be better. So yes. We could try to do that.
Wow.
There you go.
Okay.
The season finale rankings are, I don't know, 3, 4, 1, 2, based on a holistic perspective, even though I think the last episode of 4 is better than the last episode of 3. But I think the last episode of... Wait, is that true? Do I think the last episode of 3 is better than last... I don't know.
It's your rankings, Dylan.
It's tough. Both are really good. I really like the book 1 finale upon rewatching. Okay. 3, 4, 1, 2, I believe, will be what is remembered about the core seasons. I would say that I really hope that people don't discount book 2... completely.
Like, rewatch book 2. I've rewatched it like 3 times, and I'm like, book 2's pretty chill. Like, there are some parts I'm like, nah, but I'm like,
it's not that bad.
If you want to skip 2 to 5 or 1 to 5, that's fine, but just the ending is there, you know.
Well, and Beginnings is just so good.
Beginnings is really good. Any other comments on season rankings?
Book 4 is boring, man.
I don't know if Mel still exists, but let's continue.
I still exist.
Okay.
Well, I think in books, not that I think book 4 was boring, but I will say that that's just it. Book 3 hit every time, every podcast. Oh my god, book 3 is amazing. Oh my god, this episode's amazing. Oh my god, it's amazing. It keeps getting better. Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god. Book 3
was definitely the pinnacle, and from there you can only go down.
And then book 4, we were like, oh, this is okay. Coraline's amazing, and then it dropped off for a while.
So this is gonna, this leads into our next topic. I don't see a significant quality difference between books 3 and 4. And I believe that part of the reason is because they're the same show. So the last topic we're going to discuss very briefly is whether we can determine whether Avatar or Korra is a better show. You could look on it on a per episode basis. Like, I have point total rankings for Avatar season. I have point total rankings for Korra season. I did an analysis on my combined Avatar and Korra rankings. My Avatar rankings are 2 years old, so they're out of date. But I looked at a per episode average, Avatar was better, even if you excluded episodes 2 to 5 of Korra. So that's pretty definitive. That being said, a lot of people have been asking on Tumblr, have a podcast on what's better, Avatar or Korra. Here's the thing. Here's what you have to get past in order to answer this question. How do you evaluate Korra as a series? This, to me, seems impossible more than any other series I've ever seen. Korra Book 1 is a different series than Korra Book 2 is a different series than Books 3 and 4. Like, watch Book 1, of course, it's just a different show than Book 3. Like, it's so completely different. How the heck do you evaluate this show as a holistic unit so you can compare it to Avatar? Mel, do you have any thoughts on that?
It is interesting because looking at it, it is two very different... It's different tones. It's different topics. It's a lot of different stuff. I do think there was an attempt made at unifying it because they did keep bringing back things from past seasons. I don't know how much of it is different or how much you want to attribute it to growth and if that's any more positive than just saying they're different, because I think an argument can be made in saying that the show matured along with characters, plot lines, etc., but that would take a long discussion. So I agree that it's difficult, but I don't think it's impossible. And if I find a way to do it, I think that would be a very interesting podcast.
Yeah. I mean, I think you've expressed the opinion before that you probably think Korra is a better series.
I do.
And I don't think that's an unreasonable opinion. Like, I think that Korra books 3 and 4, to me, if Korra as a show, which it can't be because it needs the basis in 1 and 2, but if it was just books 3 and 4 in their quality, I think that's better than Avatar as a whole. Mm-hmm. However, I think if you factor in all of Korra, I don't know how to evaluate that. I think if you force me to evaluate it, I think I would say it's worse than Avatar, but I think it's just incredibly close, and they're the two best shows I've seen overall together. And thinking about that for a second, where we were in Book 2 of Korra was not anywhere close to this. Like, we were like, oh, this show is, like, okay. Like, we like it because we're super fans of it. Like, during the beginning of Book 2, it's like, yeah, this show's, like, it's okay, it's pretty good. We're in fandom members, so, you know, whatever, but, ultimately, like, this show is, like, all right. And now, book 3 and 4 of Korra happen, especially, you know, the book 3, the jarring difference from book 2, and now we're talking, at least for me, I'm talking about this is one of the best shows I've seen, right? Like, it's just so incredible, the quality rebound that we've had, and I think that, I didn't expect it. It all happened within the last 6 months, and it's still pretty, pretty incredible. Still pretty jarring.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, there's long-winded answers to why I think Korra is the better show, but I will at that point say yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we're going to have a podcast on this, because unless we have a really interesting answer to the question of how you evaluate Korra as a series, Like, if you ask me, what's the better season, the better show, Korra or Avatar? My first answer is, I don't know, because I don't know how to evaluate Korra. It's not that Avatar is better. It's that I don't know.
Well, and then there's the whole, I mean, this is 10 years. 10 years of, and I will like, relate this back to, like, my love for Harry Potter. That it was a decade of reading books and watching movies, and now Avatar, now there was a gap, but 10 years of Avatar Last Airbender and Legend of Korra, and we grew up with the series.
I didn't sign on for this but, when I was 12 years
old. Yeah, I didn't know this is what would happen, but, like, Avatar, and I think I've said this a few times, but, like, Avatar is the show I needed when I was that age, and Korra is the show I need now. And how do you begin to unravel what something like this means to someone? And we've even talked about how hard it is to try and do these rankings, like, objectively, subjectively, like, whatever you want to do. Because, like, if you love something, and then how can you even begin to, like, and if, what it means to you, like, a show like this, and, like, when you have episodes like Korra alone and characters that you really relate to, and, like, how do you even, like, how can you evaluate something like that when it means so much, like, when it's had such an impact on your life? It's like, I can't, like, I mean, part of me might say, like, there's parts of Korra I like better than Avatar. There might be characters I like more than characters in Avatar. But, like, that doesn't mean, like, one like, I don't know, like, how do you even unravel, like, the personal aspect of it to even begin that discussion?
I will unravel it because this is a discussion I want to have.
Well, so the thing, okay, so, like, as I said before, I genuinely think I'm able to objectively analyze Korra. Like, I think that's one of the, I don't often praise myself in any aspects, but, like, I think this is really one thing I've, know how to do.
It's the maybe, one talent you
maybe
have.
More than thing. Any other person in the world. Like, I think I would trust my opinions on objectively analyzing Korra episodes than more than anyone else. And I
just
don't
specifically
think
Korra. It's not even
it's not Avatar. Like, I don't think I'm that objective with Avatar. Like, I try to be, but it's harder.
It's harder for me. Yeah,
I feel like in 5 years we could have this podcast, but, like, right now.
I think you need to give Korra some time, right? I think our opinions.
Because, like, just like Avatar, like, we have to let Korra have, like, that we did with Avatar, because, like, looking back in Avatar, it's like the good old days, and, like, do you remember that? Like, I mean, Avatar's, like, kind of, like, not like a mythology aspect, but, like, you know, you look back and it's like, you know, you don't want to say anything bad about it, and, like, you remember all the good stuff, and, like, you know, how, and you've rewatched it so many times, but then it's like, we have to do that with Korra. Like, we have to let it, it has to, like, ferment, like, give it some time. Like,
so, of note is that the opinions presented on this podcast after the Avatar finale were that finale was the best thing we'd ever seen. 2 years later, none of us hold that opinion anymore. I don't think any of us would say the Avatar Book 3 finale is the best episode of Avatar. So, like, it's reasonable to expect our opinions on Korra to be different a few years from now. I don't think it's the same thing. I think we're younger and more emotional with the series, but yeah.
Well, even 2 weeks ago when we did that podcast, I ranked The Last Stand a lot higher than I rank it now. So, I think there is the problem of being a little too close to.
I think that episode.
Also,
I think
three
the last
and book four were back to back. There was a 3 month gap between book three and book four, and we're all kind
not
of
not
like,
even 3 months. I was like,
remember when it was in Spanish?
Yeah, I remember book three was like, Sue.
No, it's only been 6 months since book three. There you go. I think it is possible to object. So, in conclusion, I think it's possible to objectively evaluate both series, and I think we are doing so for Korra. But for Avatar, it's harder because we're younger when we watch it and stuff.
Wow, it's hard for me to objectively do anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's a philosophical
viewpoint. I am in everything
that I do. Well, I mean, no, I mean, there's a different. Well, I mean, I will say, like, it's hard for someone to say that they're like. No, I'm not like attacking you, Dale, but I'm saying, like, for you, just like, it's hard. Like, for me, I think I like to think that I can be objective about things, but I also know realistically that it's hard for you to evaluate yourself being objective.
Mm-hmm. Understood. I agree. All right. Any last thoughts on this?
Yay, ranking. No, not really, but
this is kind of boring.
Also, I already ranked Avatar, so that needs to be a thing later.
Yeah, I did rank Avatar.
I mean, we had three Avatar ranking podcasts. Yeah. We could do a combined Avatar and Korra one, but
that would be ridiculous.
I think in order for me to do
like
that...
It's like having four genetics.
Well, I already have a combined Avatar and Korra ranking, so you all are behind the time.
And that's all the world needs is Dylan's.
Is mine, yeah. But the problem is I'd have to rewatch Avatar to do this, because my rankings are two years old.
Yeah, I already started. I just got to finish book three, and I'm done with mine.
Well, now everyone can have mega watches of Avatar and then go right into Korra.
No, yes. That would be forever.
That would be so sad.
I've been your main host, Dylan. I've been Mel, Delaney, and Sam. Technical directors, AJ, Kevin, Jeff. Music credits, the Yoshida Brothers, Jeremy, Zalkman, Luke, Tripp, Logan, Brandon by Kevin, Dong, Fingzo by Jake, Special Contributor, Gareth, Contributors, Sierra, Nick, Devin, Muncy, Colin, Gretchen, Britt, Nathan, Jamie, G Millionaire, Zero Mystic, Meridian, 3D, Coin, Fetchin, Opal, 16, Iroh, Janora. I'm not 20. Counting. I don't understand. At Dongbufeng, Tumblr, Twitter, Dylan at dongbufeng.net, email. Give us your rankings on the Dongbufeng forums, dongbufeng.net/forums, or send me an ask.
Probably log in there sometime.
Dylan FTSW on Tumblr. You can find these guys' Tumblrs on the podcast description or from the Tumblr post about this. And give us iTunes reviews and send us voicemail. This is the last guaranteed podcast. I think we're going to have another
other than the Rift.
I think we're going to have another one next week, but I'm not going to guarantee it. Like, the Rift is going to happen eventually, but I'm not going to guarantee it's next week. But it'll probably be next week.
I'm never reading the Rift.
The problem is that I think the only ones that would be on the Rift podcast are, like, me, Jeff, and Delaney, I think. I think those are the only ones that have read it. So, like, I don't know. We'll see what happens. I'm not going to, as I've said before, I'm not going to definitively close the podcast at any point. We'll probably just randomly podcast on a random episode at some point throughout this next semester or whatever, but, you know, whatever happens.
Who cares?
This was the big one I wanted to do. Slowly. I really enjoyed this podcast.
Very sad. Remember when you had, like, a farewell podcast, like, number 50?
Yeah, it was him and Jake.
It was me and Jake reminiscing.
Because he wouldn't let anyone else on it.
Let's do that again.
Yeah, just me and Jake. I'll get Jake back for that.
Oh, yeah, he hasn't been here for like the past 6 years.
I don't think
years.
Jake has watched Korra since book one.
No.
Imagine how surprised he'd be if he watched book three. I don't know.
Actually, he probably wouldn't care at this point.
I don't think he would care, but that's okay.
I think he's on to bigger and better things.
I'm not sure what those things are, but...
I don't know, but, you know.
We both missed the fantasy football playoffs in our league, so... That's my.
Oh,
main.
That's right. One year that's we my did only have fantasy football.
Yeah, that league has football. Continued, except it's just me and Jake now. So there
wow,
you
could have told me. Well, I won $600 in my dad's league.
What?
Yeah.
How much was the entry?
I won bank.
Okay, never
it was
mind.
Like $100.
Okay, that's a lot. Okay.
So I won $500. Wow. Still, I beat a bunch of grown men. So
congratulations.
Nice.
There you
thank
go.
You.
That's like Allie winning our league that 1 year. Allie went undefeated.
Allie did win, and
it was
I don't
ridiculous
because
she didn't know anything about football. Okay.
Okay.
We were just like, Allie won, and she's
what
like,
are we gonna
football
end
is also very boring.
I think we should end on the sting because Mel.
No, that's do we have any? Bees? I don't think there are any inside jokes, though.
We can just yell our favorite episode.
Bees? No, what? What?
Bees? You must construct more pylons.
What? No, we're not going to yell. Pylons. We're not going to yell our favorite team, Cards Against Humanity card. What? No, I don't think there are any inside jokes. This podcast was completely serious and not jokey at all, right?
Oh, God. All of you are the worst people I've ever met in my life.
That's not true.
Thanks, Sam.
I've wasted the past 6 years of my life.
Stunning realizations from Sam at the end of the podcast. I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know what to end on.
Dylan just secretly doesn't want it to end because it's the
last
one.
Yeah, this is
one.
The best. No, it's the last episode ranking. The favorite. The best one. Okay. Anyway, so, say something. Thanks, guys, for listening.
Literally, I don't.
Give me comments on the various places. 1, 2, 3.
Oh my god, this was the
Coralo
worst thing I've ever done in my
last life. Stand. I don't know.
Words. Oh, I hate all of you.
You didn't say an episode name.
I don't care.
Did Mel say an episode name? I don't know.
No, I didn't.
Okay.